When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is your Commander-in-Chief. I'm issuing a warning. The following podcast contains adult content and intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am solo today. Actually, I'm not solo. I'm with DJ Shrope, but I'm solo as far as T-Rex has a gig in Vegas. He told me that yesterday. However, I'm solo for now, but Luke Barnott's coming in 15 minutes, and then Marina's coming in 45 minutes. We got Colby Covington, who's 2-0, might be the best prospect no one's ever heard of. I mean, some people, hardcore fans have heard of, people like me, but his two fights have been on Fight Pass so far, one in Australia, one in China. But the guy's 7-0, two-time All-American, John Jones' roommate in college, and I think he's the next big thing, to be honest. And he's got 700 followers on Twitter, which I always like guys that get guys beforehand, you know, and then when they're too big for me, they just, you know, go on other podcasts. But anyway, so and the reason that I have a lisp, obviously, but today I have a really bad lisp because my tooth is gone. What happened was I was in Oklahoma. I've been having that. I told you guys before I've been listening to the podcast. I've had a flipper in for, I don't know, a year now. I'm getting my tooth drilled in next week. I got hit by a car when I was in third grade. My tooth fell out. My tooth went through my lip, actually. I couldn't walk. I was in the hospital. I almost died. And then I got into a fist fight in an elevator about 7 months ago. Another fight before that. And I'm not advocating fighting. One, I was attacked both times. But both punches loosened my tooth. So I got my tooth pulled. Anyway, I was in Oklahoma last week on, I think it was Thursday, and I was talking to DJ Shrope because I noticed that the text from last fight they put up on Facebook 2 weeks ago got 6,000 shares. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. How great is that? I mean, 6,000 people are sharing your work. Amazing. Then the week later, it got 50 shares. I'm like, what happened to the 5,900? Anyway, so I called DJ. What happened was they didn't put the link up. You would think the link should go up. Anyway, it was a mistake, but I was so occupied with that. It's not his fault. It's my own fucking fault. Okay, I was at Gerald Harris's boxing gym. I was in Oklahoma. Gerald Harris was was on the show too. I did one of his shows, and I was taking his boxing class, and I took my tooth out, and I put it next to my jacket. I picked up my jacket, and then It went flying somewhere. My tooth went flying somewhere. But I was occupied with the whole Facebook thing, which is why I called DJ. I wasn't thinking about my tooth. It wasn't DJ's fault. It would be kind of funny if I blamed DJ for this.
It was a staff member who is for the first time was posted on Facebook. And we were like, okay, this is how you're going to do it. This is what I want you to do. Okay, great, boss. Thanks. And then he does it. And honestly, I didn't look. I'm like, oh, look, it's got a couple thousand likes already. This is great. And then when you called me, I'm like,
yeah, the link wasn't up.
And there's no link. There's just a picture of the text.
That's a picture of the text. That's what I'm talking about. I'm sorry if I'm not being completely. But you know what? But then you're like, oh, I'll change it. Then he put a link under it. He should have took the whole thing down and then re-upped it.
You don't want to do that. In Facebook, you lose all the momentum.
Okay.
You
know what I mean?
So it's like it's better to update. Like so, if you already have something, right? So if you like something or you've commented on something, the best thing to do is then edit it. Put the link in there because then everybody who's commented or liked gets a notification.
I know, but it was sort of like a lost cause at that point. Anyway, so I was kind of in a bad mood. I wasn't a bad mood. I was just like, whatever. Lo and behold, I didn't have a tooth, right? My tooth is missing. It's in Oklahoma somewhere. I don't know where it is. I called my dad. He's like, don't worry, man. You're in Tulsa. You'll fit in just like the rest of them. He's like, they'll love you. He's like, you know, hey, if you're going to have a tooth missing, be in Tulsa, which is what I actually told the crowd. It got a big laugh, DJ. I was pretty excited about that. So I didn't have a tooth for like 4 days. So it's hard doing stand-up comedy with no tooth. But our hero prevailed. That's me. The shows were great. Had a great time in Tulsa. I meet this girl, right? She invites me back to her place. And I didn't tell her I didn't have a tooth.
So you kind of kept
the whole time. I'm like, hey, can I get a drink? Okay, I'm like, basically, I have like the bottle above me. I'm like, I'm not smiling on purpose. I said like 3-word answers every time. It was the funniest thing, but it actually worked. I actually ended up scoring. Okay, and hooking up or whatever, being intimate. And I'm like, wow, maybe if I don't talk all the time, I think I was better off not talking. Right. I think me talking has ruined so many of my.
We've talked about this cock blocking yourself.
Oh, I cock block myself all the time. Well, in this case, I didn't even talk at all, and it was funny though. It was like a Seinfeld episode where like George or someone loses a tooth. So I'm constantly blocking my mouth with like bottles and this and that, and it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It was very funny though. But I don't even think she even knew I didn't have a tooth
until she kissed you.
The way we kissed, like, I sort of had like my very open mouth kissing, where like I must have went across as like the worst kisser of all time. My mouth was completely wide open, like jamming my tongue down her throat. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was absolutely
She's
ridiculous.
Probably thinking his kisses were so soft they didn't even use any teeth.
Oh yeah, exactly. Oh man, it was ridiculous. It was fucking ridiculous. So that was my weekend. I had a couple of weeks off of wrestling practice, which has been, it's like in between first and second session. I had a funny story about wrestling. So there was this kid, Justin, that I used to coach a couple years ago, and he was like the biggest wise guy ever. He was like Eddie Murphy if he was like 10 years old. Constant wise guy, really funny, great athlete, just a real wise guy, you know? And I used to take him to practice sometimes, and because his parents worked, and I would drive to his house 8 o'clock in the morning, pick him up for practice, and a couple times he wouldn't open a door. And then I'd call up his mom, be like, "Oh, sorry, he was sleeping." But I would see through his window him looking, and so one day I was like, "You know what? Fuck this." I walked in his house, went upstairs to go, "Get out. We're going to practice." He's like, "Dude, I can't believe you, coach. You can't do that." I go, "Yep, let's go." And then I took him to practice. His mom thanked me. See, he didn't have a father figure. Father was, some kind of issue with the father. And it was really funny. But this kid was funny. Like, this kid, he was a little black kid. He was one time, so we like would sprint to practice, and he beat me in a sprint. And there's nothing worse than getting beat by like an 11-year-old in a sprint when you're like 30, 33. 30. I was like, and he would like just, he would, you know, I beat the coach. This kid was fast as hell. I've never been fast. But I'm like, you know what? We're doing a 3-mile race. Fuck that. Because I knew he couldn't do 3 miles. When you're 11, you do a mile, do 2 miles. So we start doing 3 miles, the track, after practice. And he gives up after the first mile. He's like, you know, screw this. But then I'm like, I want to give up too. I'm tired. I'm like, I can't give up, because if I give up, I'm just showing that like quitting's okay. So I do the 3 miles while he's waiting on top of my car laughing at me. And then at the end, he's like, "Ha ha, I made you run 3 miles," taunting me the entire time. little fucker, man. Oh God.
So he turned it around on you.
Yeah, he totally turned it around. I thought I was like doing this great, you know, moral clause, but man, that kid was funny. He was a funny kid. Smart kid too. I did a joke about how one time I was driving him to practice, and there was a, this is like a terrible joke, but I was driving back, because there was a billboard about a girl who had leukemia, and I said, "Anna versus leukemia." And he goes, "Coach, I got $10 on leukemia."
Oh.
Which is like an awful. And I'm like, that's not funny, Justin. But I'm like, it wasn't funny, but oh, damn, it was pretty funny.
Good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I was like, how the hell do you think of that at 11? You got to have a sick sense of humor. This kid would fail every class, but would have the funniest jokes I've ever heard in my life. I mean, it was one of those things where it was just teachers were not getting to him, or somebody wasn't getting it to him, because he was a brilliant kid in that regard. I almost wanted to take him to a comedy club.
He just needed motivation.
He needed motivation. And now he's not wrestling. His grades, blah, blah, blah. Hasn't wrestled in high school. I've been following up on him. It's just like, kid could have been so good. So good. So let's talk about the fights last week. So you know what? Friday and Saturday, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed both the fights. I enjoyed UFC Australia and UFC Fight Night. Oh, we'll talk about the Rockhold Bisping. I actually, you know what? I kind of felt bad for Bisping. I did. You know, he's one of those guys that, like, is a really good at being the heel. He's, but you could tell he's a nice guy. You know, his, even when he was coming at me on Twitter saying I wasn't funny and this and that, I knew he was doing it with, like, what, you can't roast a roaster? Because his wife was always following me on Twitter. And I'd always invite his wife to him to the show. And she's like, oh, Michael says thank you, this and that. You could tell everyone that trained with him says he's a real nice guy. Nobody said anything bad about Bisping. I think he's a star, Bisping. You know, he has that X factor. People want to watch him.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of feel bad for the guy because all the guys he's fought and lost to have been taking performance-enhancing drugs. And you know, even him with that headbutt, he says he couldn't remember anything after the headbutt. I don't know if he was beating Luke Rockhold anyway. I think Luke Rockhold's just younger, less wear and tear, better fighter right now. You know, I think
Luke, I think he realized when he was fighting Luke, he goes, holy shit. This guy's a monster.
And Luke didn't respect him. Luke had his hands down, was walking through his punches. And, you know, I don't know. Does Luke Rockhold get past Jacare? I don't know, because both those guys are better than they were in Strikeforce. And they were great in Strikeforce.
What a great fight.
Yeah, and Jacare, I don't know what type of workout he's been doing, but he's on a whole different level of – he's just huge. I mean, Jacare is a different body. He's been a monster. I mean, a monster. I would love – those two guys, I think, create a much bigger problem for Weidman than Vitor Belfort does and than anybody else. I think that I think Jacare creates the biggest problem for Chris Weidman. I think Weidman gets past Rockhold quicker than Jacare. Speaking of Luke Barnett is here. So we're going to – get him right now, and then we'll come right back. All right, so we got the big slow. Luke Barnett just showed up in L.A. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Feeling the L.A. vibe, wearing my sunglasses inside, you know, looking like a bit of an idiot, but it's all good.
You fit in well. And you're here with your beautiful fiance is with us right now. We can't see her, but trust me, when I say she's a 10, she's a 10. She's you did very well for yourself, you know. I thought you were lying and that she was going to look like Kelvin Gastelum, but no, good work, man. Good work.
You know, I hear that every time I post a picture of me and Lucy together, I always have someone on Twitter remind me that I'm bang above the average. So you're not the only one. I hear it all the time.
Well, that's, you know, that's usually me that puts that. But yeah, absolutely. Now, we were covering the fights last week, Rockhold versus Bisping. I know Bisping is a fellow countryman of yours. What was your thought on the fight? What's your thought on Bisping in general?
I mean, you know, Bisping's been around forever, had some amazing fights, and now, of late, he's started struggling a little bit, coming to the end of his career. And he is very passionate and still feels in himself that he can go far. And, you know, I got a lot of respect for Bisping, and we're good friends. And it was a hard fight to watch. Rockhold's obviously the younger guy who's on the way up, and you could just see that he was a bit more dynamic in the fight.
Do you think the headbutt had something to do with it?
I mean, as a fighter, I've been headbutted, and it was quite early on. It didn't look too dramatic, but it can throw you off. But
how does someone headbutt you? Do they jump up the top of the cage or something?
Just when we're on the ground, they have to. But yeah, I think it was an interesting fight. I mean, Luke looked great. The finish was great. Impressive to even to submit. I think it's the first time Bisping's ever been submitted. And I've grappled with that guy, and he's hard to submit.
So, really?
Yeah, it was really, really impressive from Luke. But, you know, Mike's been in the sport now. I think he's been in the UFC maybe 8 years. Made a ton of money for a guy from England. He's done amazingly well, and he's really put it on the map for us guys. So, you know, I think maybe it's time for him to just look for the big fights and you know, rather than the big social fights, rather than trying to look for a world title. Maybe he could get a fight with Anderson Silva, maybe, if, you know, something doesn't happen with Diaz. Some exciting fan favorite fights. I think that's where his career is going.
Yeah, no, he said, like, at the end of the fight, I'm going nowhere. And I'm like, oh, no, I had to write a joke about that. I'm like, it's never a good sign when the guy says, I'm going nowhere after the fight. But I like Bisping. I was saying before, there's nothing about him that, like, he's a heel in some ways, but, it, like, you know he's very tongue-in-cheek. Like, you know he's doing it for a show. You know that even when he's talking smack about his opponent, he's doing it to sell the fight. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for Bisping. I feel kind of unfortunate that a lot of his fighters that he's fought have been tested positive for drugs. And, you know, like, wonder how would he have done against a TRT-less Chael, or Vanderlei. I don't know if Vanderlei was on anything, but it seems like maybe he was back then. Or how would he have done against, you know, Vitor if Vitor wasn't on the stuff, you know? And that, I'm sure that's got to bother him as well.
Yeah, I mean, he brings it up a lot, and I think that's a big deal for him. And it's like every time he gets that last opponent and he loses, that's the guy who gets busted for doing something. So he struggled with that his career, and it's hurt him. I think it's going to haunt him. But you know, that's the sport, unfortunately, at the moment, where everyone's getting popped. And I got a good story about Mike, because, like you said, a lot of people, he gets a lot of negative press. People don't like him because he talks trash and he can be quite rude to his opponents. But he's one of the nicest guys I've met in the sport, and I could tell why, because the first time I was in LA before, after I was on The Ultimate Fighter, but it was like airing, and I was over here with John McGuire, one of my teammates, and I tweeted Bisbean. I'd met him a few times, but nothing, you know, back in England. And I tweeted him saying, I'm in LA, would love to train with you, you know, hit us up or whatever, just a tweet. He followed us, DM'd me saying, where are you? He drove 40 minutes to come pick me up, drove back to the gym. I can't remember where it was at the time. We did like a 2-hour session. Then he said, oh, where are you guys staying? I said, oh, we're going to find some sort of hotel. He said, no, fuck that. We're going back to my, he came back to the house, cooked us dinner, like really, really looked after us. And he was like, you know, I know what it was like starting out and paying for hotel rooms and gas and all this stuff. You know, you don't need to do it. So, you know, I'd met him maybe twice as like a fan, you know, and said hello. He didn't know me, so
wow,
you know, really, really good guy.
Yeah, that's a great story. That's crazy. Now you've had a lot of funny stories. You told me that funny story we were hanging out the other night with Hector Lombard.
Yeah,
will you please tell that story? Because that was one of the funniest things I ever heard.
Well, I don't know if I'll do it justice calling that, but it was in Sweden back when the UFC was debuting in Sweden, and I think Alex was the main event, and Hector was over there with the American Top Team guys. And there's a gym back home in England. Some of the guys fly over there and they train with American Top Team. So they were like all hanging out, and we went out in Sweden. And I remember just thinking this guy was crazy. Like I knew who he was, but I didn't really know. And we were chatting away and he's like, he's Cuban, I think, or something. Yeah. I can't remember exactly. Cuban and like Hispanic and speaks really fast and you don't really understand him. And he's like really cool one moment, really aggressive the next moment. And I remember us queuing up to get into this bar or club, and I was just like, he had like a shiny watch on. I was like staring at his watch, looking at it. And he goes, man, you looking at my watch? I was like, oh yeah, it's a nice watch. He goes, you going to steal my watch? I was like, boy, what are you on about? Like, we're going crazy. I know we're going to steal. And he lifts me up like single leg, picks me up above his head, and, like pretends to like slam me on the ground, and then catches me just before I hit the floor. And I'm like, I'd never met this guy before in my life. And he's lifting me up and throwing me around. And he's just mental, but a good time.
That's really funny, though. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
He just picks you up and throws. That's so ridiculous.
And I'm a big dude, like 6'6", and I was like, we're in a line to get into a club. Like the bouncer's looking over, and I'm like up here. It was messed up.
Your friend Tom was telling me that, like, when he met Johnny Hendricks, Tom's like your manager, right?
Yeah, my agent. Yeah,
one of the nicest guys I met. He said when he met Hendricks, he's like Hendricks was like drinking a little bit, and he goes, man, right now I own 15 acres, but one day I want to own 200 acres of land, and then I'll stop fighting. Like his whole goal is to own more land.
Like, just to get bigger farmland. And I remember Johnny telling me a story as well. We were at dinner, and he like stood up, and he had a toothpick in his mouth, and he had these cowboy boots on, and he's really proud of him. I don't know what, but he's got these boots on, these big leather boots on. And he's like, you know, I like to tuck my jeans on the inside of my cowboy boots and leave them hanging on the outside. That's my style. And I was like, okay. That doesn't mean anything to me, but it must mean something back where he's from. I don't know. But he was cool. He was cool.
This guy is, he's hilarious. Some of the guys that you, I was looking at some of the guys, I was watching some of your fights last night, actually. And we'll go back to some of these fights. But you, one of your fights, I guess you had a broken jaw and you finished the fight.
Yeah.
What fight was that?
That was my first amateur fight. My first ever fight. Like, I still am, I suppose, but like a posh city kid that started MMA because, you know, I thought it was tough. And I trained with my friend Jack Mason, who we had on the pod with me last time. And I trained for 6 months with him. Then they chucked me into this fight, and I fought this guy named Alan Pacman. And he beat the crap out of me on the feet. Like, my hands were down by my chest. My chin was in the air. And I got smacked around for the first round. And I thought I broke my jaw. And I went back to the corner. And my coach, Robbie, I said, I think I broke my jaw. And he was like, open your mouth. No, you're fine. You just cracked a couple of teeth. I was like, okay, cool. We went back into the fight. I won by a knockout or TKO in the second round. I came over to Robbie. You know, I give him a hug and he goes, right, time to go to the hospital. You got a broken jaw.
Like, wow.
He knew in between rounds.
Your corner lied to you.
And lied to me, yeah. And
wow.
It worked out well because I think if I'd have lost that fight because of a broken jaw, it might have stunted my growth a little bit.
Yeah. No, and then I had all this stuff. Like, I hung out with you in Vegas. You were like the nicest guy ever. And it's so funny because you're like one of these guys that like you said that, you know, like there was all these tough guys at like the bar, and I mean literally we're in Vegas hanging out and all these guys with their shirts off and they're roided out of their minds and you're wearing like a three-piece suit or something, and like you say to me, you're like, man, I've never been in a street fight in my life, I'm the most passive guy, and I'm thinking like, but I look at you, I'm like, you know that you could take any one of these guys here. You're like, yeah, but I just, that's not my style. And just, you're like, the most nicest. I was like, dude, this is not the kind of guy. You think of like UFC fighter. You don't think guy with a three-piece suit from England who looks like you're a guy that like the local librarian. You know, which I give you a lot of credit for that, Ben. You know.
Clean cut. I like to look clean cut.
Very clean cut.
Now
you had invested all your money into a business, right? And what business was it?
It was a clothing store, basically. I had a chain of clothing stores back home. Me and a business partner, my friend Paul. It's like I was doing odd jobs and then had this opportunity, got a loan from the bank. You know, love fashion, love clothes. So I thought I'd get into it with my friend Paul. And the like, yeah, we did it. The banks collapsed and we had the big recession started and all that sort of stuff. So it was a tough time for me investing all that sort of cash. Really, really exciting. I was real, real young and it didn't work out too well.
Now, this is Marina Shafir, by the way.
Okay.
This is Luke Barnett.
Hey.
What's happening?
Marina is a pro fighter. She's a judo black belt, a second degree black belt in judo. She trains over with Jake Ellenberger at Jake's gym, also Ronda Rousey. She lives at Ronda.
Okay.
And she's also on the podcast.
Okay, cool.
This is Luke Barnett. I don't know if you know Luke.
Nice to meet you.
He was on The Ultimate Fighter.
Sorry, I'm a mess.
Luke is 8-1, right?
9-0.
Yeah, 9-0. He should be 9-0.
What happened? Did you take your tooth out?
No, it fell out in Oklahoma. My tooth fell out. I have had no tooth for the last week.
Yeah, you could have just made up a story like, I was sparring this morning.
Well, it happened when I got into a fight in my elevator. That's how it actually got loose. Somebody punched me in my elevator, and then I took the guy down, and my dog bit his leg.
And your fake tooth fell out?
Yeah, my fake tooth fell out.
Wait, so how did you lose it the first time?
I got hit by a car in the third grade.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a girl in Tulsa, Oklahoma that has it in her stomach right now.
Yeah, right now a girl. Wow.
Gross.
Wow.
Good
that's rough. That's rough. So, okay. So we're talking about Luke. So Luke, he when he graduated college, he invested all his money into a clothing store, went completely bankrupt, and then you were in Thailand?
Yeah. So like I managed to siphon off a little bit of money, like not a lot, but a little bit of money to... Like, I was stressed out my mind with the stores that were going under. I had debtors after me all over the place, you know, trying to take everything that I owned. So me and Paul, we both siphoned off a bit of cash and we went to Thailand with it because we just thought it's cheap and sunny. We'll go there and just chill out and, you know, like re-energize our batteries, as you would, and try and think of ideas. So we were like in Thailand looking at things, trying to think of business ideas, but like in a fun way. I was out there for 7 months in the end. So I traveled for 4 months going all over the country. Went to Malaysia and all over the place. And then I spent 3 months solid at Tiger doing Thai boxing. Had a couple of fights out there.
And you had no training, because I heard you did Taekwondo for 2 months and quit.
Yeah. I was a yellow tag or yellow stripe or whatever it is in Taekwondo.
So you're in Thailand, and how old are you?
I was like 20, I think.
20 years old, 19 years old. You're in Thailand. Like, oh, I'll just take up Thai boxing as a joke. And then had a couple of Muay Thai fights in Thailand.
Yeah.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
It was fun. It was real, real good fun.
Now, how did you do in those fights?
I won one by knockout with a knee, and I won the other one by decision. So I did pretty well.
Wow.
Yeah. Against some fat European guy that just turned up for fun. And, you know, there's no 6'6" Thais out there or 185 Thais, so I was all right.
Were you the tallest guy in Thailand?
possibly, yeah.
That's incredible. So then you're like, then Jack Mason, right, was like, hey, why don't you, you were bouncing with him?
Yeah, I was bouncing with Jack, and we worked at this club in Chelmsford, my hometown. And, you know, he did it, and he was like, me and him, like, were going back and forth on the door. And I was like, listen, I know Thai boxing, I'll kick your ass. And he was like, oh, da, da, da. And we had like a play fight, and he beat the crap out of me. And then he was like, why don't you come down to the gym and learn how to do this stuff? And that was it. I started, and I went and did jiu-jitsu for the first time, and it all started from there.
Right. So then, all right, now we'll fast forward a little bit. So then you became the big fish in your gym, right? Like, you were, like, running shit in England. And, like, you were, like, the best wrestler in your gym. And then you end up going to Alliance, and Phil Davis beats the shit out of you. Is this right what happened? Or what? Tell me what happened there.
Best wrestler in my gym is a bit strong, but I was probably the best wrestler in England because he's that bad out there. But no, I'm joking. It was, I progressed pretty well, pretty quickly, picked up a lot of tricks. Like, John McGuire, who was in UFC for a while, you know, we trained together a lot, and I learned a lot from him. And then it got to the stage where there's a lot of good training partners in England, but they're all lightweights, they're all midgets, they're all small people, you know. And I was the biggest guy in the gym, and I'd struggled to find training partners. And I'd come so far, I was 8-0 or whatever it was at the time. So I thought, right, I'll go out to Alliance. I'm hooked up with Bad Boy, who look after me out there. And I'd met Phil before. I actually met him in Vegas with you, and I spoke to him about it. And yeah, and then I went out with Phil, and we've been sparring. I've pretty much been one of his main training partners for his fight with Glover, and it is fucking horrible. It's horrible. So I'm really learning what wrestling is now. Like, I thought I knew what it was, and now the feeling of, you know, a 220-pound big black man on top of you not letting you up is definitely not fun.
Wow, that's good. I mean, that's a lot of balls, though. I mean, that's right. I mean, that's a hard. Phil Davis is a national champion wrestler. You're a guy coming from clothing experience. I mean, you know, coming from hooking up with, well, I don't know, what were you doing in Thailand? Okay, but so now, I mean, the fact that you're over there in Alliance, even training with him, I mean, you probably got so much better, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the moment I walked in, like, I looked at Alliance, and I looked at the guys that train there, and people from, like, Dominic to Miles to obviously, you know, Phil and the big guys, and it's just a place for me to be. Alexander Gustafsson was like the inspiration to go out there, because he went out there after losing to Phil. And I've known Alex 6-7 years, trained with him a long, long time ago. And the amount he's improved is incredible. And I think that's just from making that move. So, you know, I uplifted my life and went out there to train with Phil. And it's been, yeah, it was pretty intimidating thing the first time I did it. It's Phil Davis, you know, like he's a way above me, and he's in the top five in the world. So it was a tough thing to do, but every session, I get better. Every session.
Now, are you lighting Phil up on the feet, though? I know his weakness is standing. You know,
I mean, obviously, stand-up's my strong point, and with Phil, it's like all I'm trying to do. But the man's hard to hit. Like, I wouldn't say I'm lighting him up. I wouldn't say he's lighting me up. But you saw it in the Glover fight.
Is he elusive?
He's very elusive. Very hard to
really
to get to touch. Like, to hit him.
Interesting.
Like, that's the thing. That
why is that interesting?
Knows. No, because like when I watch him fight, I never really thought he was like, you know,
he's just got this start. I think it's the confidence he has in his wrestling. You know,
the agility, to
just, it's so hard to hit him.
Like,
so
for grappling, he definitely fights like he's like a wrestler.
No, yeah. And he'll never lose that, I don't think. And
one of the funniest Phil Davis things I've ever seen, like I told you, I was watching the national championships years ago. I was with my girlfriend at the time, and we're watching the NCAAs. Okay. And Phil Davis is wrestling in the finals. And I'm like, oh, this guy's good. You know, he's up like 7-2. And then they cut to, like, you know how they have picture in picture of the box? And they go, we interviewed Phil before. And he goes, yeah, you know, me and my friends, we like to get together and just sew. We just like to knit. We have a knitting team, and that's what we like to do. And then they cut out, and the guy's like, it was just an awkward pause, and the announcer was like, I think he was having fun with us. I was like, he just trolled on like national TV. Who would do that? Why would he? I asked him about it. He's like, yeah, I'm sick of these people asking dumb questions. What? I'm like, dude, what a clown.
He was the same in his last fight. Beats Glover, and then he tells people to hashtag zip zap, whatever, you know. I was watching it like, what was that?
Where does that come from?
I have no idea. I haven't had a chance.
Like, where's the inspiration for that humor?
He's a funny guy. He's a really funny guy, but in a different.
Yeah, he has like his own.
He's a little bit weird.
Like, he's on a different planet.
A little weirdo.
Thing.
So how was your week, Marina?
Well, it just started. It's only Tuesday.
How was your weekend since last Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I went to my first, like, heavy metal, like, screaming mosh pit.
No way.
Show on Saturday.
Who? What band?
36 Ugly Fist or something, or 36 Death Fist. I forget.
So you're a big fan?
No, because Tugboat Boy loves that kind of music.
Her boyfriend works on a tugboat.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And you call him Tugboat Boy.
Also known as Justin.
Okay. Yes.
But he likes that kind of music. That's what he grew up on, like punk rock and screaming and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, he always like bites one for the team for us, for me and stuff. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll just get really drunk. You know, and enjoy myself, but...
No, afterwards, did you let him pile drive you? Remember last time you said that... Remember last...
No, I told you.
Oh, okay.
All right? I already took one for the team. I don't need to do it again.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Good. That's good. That's good. All right. Got you. Got
and
you.
And in this mosh pit, did you judo throw anyone or did you...
No. I didn't do any of that because it was one of the most pathetic mosh pits I've ever seen in my life. There was like four people that were just like moshing each other constantly.
Wow.
Nobody else wanted anything to do with them.
April, right? April? Lucy. So,
you want to throw something
no,
at
so Lucy, okay.
Hard
no,
objects
so Lucy,
you.
Last week, me and Marina had a debate on what sometimes when guys have girls in like crazy sex positions, like the pile driver, she says that women don't enjoy that. They're just doing it for the team. And I said,
it's not that enjoyable.
And I said that no, sometimes women do like that. Now, you being a girl,
I just wish it would be like
would you
that.
Like to answer this?
The pile driver
is when a guy has a girl upside down and he's having sex with her as if he's pile driving her. So me and Luke haven't done that yet.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's a good answer, yeah.
Wow, nice. She's going to tell
good
us.
Good answer. She said, I like her. Can we give her a mic?
Yeah. She's going to tell us tomorrow after Luke pile drives her. That's great.
Great answer.
Sounds like a lot of effort, that does.
A lot of effort. It does seem like a lot of effort. Okay. All right. So back to last week's fights.
You were asking me about my week.
Oh, go on. Okay. I just wanted to know if you got pile drives. All right. Okay. So
he's like, that's about it. Let's move on.
All right. Okay. So what else? Okay. You went to a mosh pit. What else happened?
And then Sunday I did a charity event with Rhonda and her family that her mom set up, and it was really fun. We got, you know, there was like a couple bands that performed, and Rhonda just all of the funds went to what's it called, like proceeds for health. To like for science and everything, and it was cool.
Nice.
Yeah. And that was pretty much it.
Nice. Okay. Now, yeah. I remember you hadn't seen your boyfriend in like a month.
The last time I was picking him up after.
You were picking him up, and then you said you were going to jump on him and just rip his clothes off and go crazy. Is that what happened? Really?
Move on.
Okay. Wow.
Move on,
all right. Wow. That's,
move on.
All right. We are moving up. I'm just trying to know about your week. I know. is something going on here? You guys didn't break up, did you?
No.
Oh, damn it.
I just don't want to talk about it.
Damn it. When's it going to happen? It's going to happen, people.
Damn it.
It's going to happen.
You really put a lot of emphasis in your words and now you have a hole in your mouth.
I know. There's nothing good about having
a big
hole.
Oh, my God, you have a lisp. It's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I need to be tortured. All right.
This is the listless.
Yeah, I already have a lisp, but now I have it really, really bad. Which is, why do you have the word S in lisp? And that's how fucked up is that? Anyway, now, okay, so Al Iaquinta, Ross Pearson, another one of your fellow countrymen. I didn't think this was going to happen. I thought Pearson, I know we all picked Pearson last week.
Yeah, we did.
Al won this. What did you think about this fight?
Yeah, I thought Ross did real, real well in the first round. He was moving well. And he just threw a lazy kick and got caught. You know, it was one of those fights, a la Iaquinta, I can't say his name probably. Really, really talented guy, dynamic, and he just caught Ross off guard. And it was pretty upsetting for me, obviously, like you said, one of my countrymen, and he also trains at Alliance as well. So he hasn't been there for this fight, but he trains there too. It was a tough fight. I mean, I thought in the first round, he just edged the first round. It was very, very close.
Do you think his wife's too hot?
His wife is hot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, his wife is one of the hottest girls I've ever seen.
Who is it?
She's the ring girl. Christy Jane McKeon, right? Or Christy Jane Pearson now? I think they get married. I got to say, I hate to, like, Ariane.
No, you don't hate
beautiful.
To, then you wouldn't have said it.
Ariane is a beautiful
Liar.
Girl. Okay, Brittany Palmer hates me because I made one joke about her, and now she blocked me on Twitter, so I'm not even going to talk about her. But these foreign ring girls are, I gotta say, they're picking it up. I mean, some of these Brazilian girls and Australian girls, maybe because I don't know them and that's why they're hotter. But
I think the age of Ariane is like starting to fade, like it's fade out.
It's is that
totally
what it is?
Totally fading out.
I mean,
they
it happens,
need to move on.
You think they should go lower?
Oh my God,
younger.
Do something good with your life.
Really?
Yeah.
Do something good with it. You think? That you think Ariane? You think? But honestly, what's up with
great?
This,
like, she's really good at circling left. Like that's all.
That's Team Rhonda right there, though.
But that's like 6 years, right?
No,
right? Because Rhonda hates her. Hates her. Like,
that might have something to do with it, just a little bit.
I mean, honestly, though, do you think a part of it also is like?
No, she was really nice to me. We did like a signing together at the Las Vegas Fight Shop, and she was cool. I just think that like she's becoming bigger than what she is representing in the UFC. Like she should really believe in her brand right now and like branch out
and do what? Like Meryl Streep and Ariana.
Well, no, like the things that she usually does, like modeling, like try to sign with like a really good company and be the face of them, like have that kind of goal.
Yeah.
Instead of just, you know.
It doesn't seem to work that well, though, for the
ring car girls.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know. I just think she's branched out.
Modeling is so hard, and it really is. Like, a lot of times the girls that you think are the big models, like, are not. I mean, I've hung out over.
Wait, but that Vanessa, what's her face
Hanson.
Name? Yeah. She's really pretty.
Yeah.
She's, like, really, like, super. She could be, like, the face of Free People, for example.
Well, I know Ariane is an actress. And, like, yeah. I'm an acting coach. I actually
she's an actress?
There. Yeah. She's actually,
oh, my God, what movies has she done?
She's done, like, some, like short films and stuff. But I think she actually is a.
She does a show on Velocity.
She does on Velocity. Yeah. But I do think that the injections and the face and the Botox,
yeah,
that shit's got to stop. Because it's just not. I don't understand. It's just not.
Natural.
With all women.
It's starting to fade out again. Like that, the age of like the natural look is it's all in.
Good because it doesn't. Yeah. You ever see this girl? I see in Beverly Hills. I see them all the time. Their faces are pulled back and their lips look like you know they're like in 3D.
Oh
you
man, know? I work in Venice. I'm in like the homeland of botched plastic surgery. Like you know some women come in and you just look at them and you're like. I could see what you were trying to go for there. it just didn't work out for you very well.
Welcome to Venice, homeland of botched plastic surgery. They need to get us a sign that says, like, the Venice signs that say homeland of botched plastic surgery.
It's bad.
Somebody please make a meme on that, please. But Marina Shafir says, welcome to Venice, homeland of botched plastic surgery, please. All right, so Ally Aquinta. Meanwhile, what's crazy about Ally Aquinta is that I like Al, nice guy. I like that whole team, the Sarah Longo, Al, that whole team, all those guys train over there. Ajamon Sterling trains over there. Bunch of guys. What's that guy's name? That Chris Weidman's Gian Vellante. I like all those guys. Mitch Clark beat Ally Aquinta. We had Mitch Clark on the podcast. He subbed him with one of the greatest subs I've ever seen, and no one's ever talking about him. This poor Canadian guy. Who on a show, he's 2-0 in the UFC, and he beat Al, second round. And Al has gotten two fights since then. Al's looking like a world beater, which he is. But it just sucks to me that some of these guys that are on winning streaks in the UFC, they just, for some reason, aren't getting the... Is it the man? What is it? You're in the UFC. Is it management? I mean,
how was your podcast with Mitch Clark? How did it go? Interesting guy.
Is he? Yeah, like is he?
I liked him. I mean,
you like everybody.
Well, he's one of the. You know what? After the podcast, he said to me, "I am the most unknown guy in the UFC, and I have to change that."
Yeah.
He lives in Edmonton, Canada.
Well, at least he wants to. That's the first step. Now, like, all he's got to do is like go on his social media and talk to some managers. It's really easy nowadays.
But Cyborg. Cyborg last week. Cyborg said, they asked her what advice. They asked Cyborg, what advice would you give to young female fighters? And she said, don't train, just go on Instagram and take some bikini pictures. Is that, I mean, I know she's kidding around, but is there some truth to that?
No, but what she's not realizing is that it's becoming like the time where you can post all of your daily life on Instagram, but that doesn't mean you're not working hard at all. Rhonda is the hardest working person in my gym. And she posts on a regular basis.
Does she post or does Lazy post?
No, it's her.
Oh, okay.
It's totally her. It's all her. She edits all of her own shit, and she does it consistently, and she's still the best in the world. So I think she just does not think. I don't agree with it. Yeah, I don't agree with that statement.
But Luke, a guy like you, right? I mean, you were 8-0. I think you're 9-0. Your last fight, you won. You won the last two rounds. The first round was a little close. Mm-hmm. I watched it again.
I mean, let me get this straight. It was an awful fight. And it was a terrible performance by myself, but I still won. And the reason it was a terrible performance is because that guy I fought ran away for 15 minutes. No doubt about it. And every single major media outlet who they score the fights online, they all scored it to me. Dana gave it to me. Joe Silva gave it. They all gave it to me. The other guy just ran away for 15 minutes, and he got the win. So just to square this off, because it gets on the nerves. So they say I'm 8-1, but I'm definitely 9-0. I'm undefeated, and I'm going into my next fight. I've got a fight in 12 days or whatever it is, 2 weeks. And I'm 9-0, and I beat that guy, and I'm 10-0 in the UFC and a 5-0 win streak. And, you know, for me, like you're saying, to get your name known and to get out there and all the rest of it, Mitch Clark's 2-0. The other guy he beat is John McGuire, my training partner. I was there in Canada. It was an awful performance from John. He should have beat him, and I was crying that night because he lost to Mitch Clark. But the Ally Aquinta fight was a very, very impressive performance from Mitch. But apart from those two moments in my life, I've never heard his name mentioned until you mentioned it just then. So Mitch needs to do something. If he's aware of it, he needs to do something to make people start talking about him. It doesn't matter what it was. And I disagree hugely on being fake and being trying to make some bullshit up. He's just a nice guy. If you're a nice guy, just be a nice guy, but be a bit more vocal about it. Like, everything I try and say and I speak about is off my chest and my opinion. I don't think, I should do this, because then that's false and bullshit.
Remember last time you were on the podcast, you said you had more money than all of Ireland?
Yeah, exactly.
And you still get Irish people that still hate you to this day, right?
Wait, so what you're saying exactly is that just being yourself.
No.
Looking for inspiration anywhere. You're just inspired by yourself to say these things.
Well, no, you just...
And that's the beauty of the sport, is like you're able to do that and you're going to be successful because...
Well, you can be yourself and then get thrown out of the UFC as well.
Yeah.
So I've seen guys be themselves.
They weren't meant to be there in the first place.
I've seen guys make racist comments and they're just being themselves and then they're out of the UFC. So you have to be kind of careful with that, you know, that comment. Now, but to the Irish people, now speaking of, we got to talk about Conor McGregor. I know you don't want to talk about him. I know you get asked about him all the time. Uh-huh. He is a hot button topic and I love your opinion on it because it's funny. Talk to me about Conor McGregor. What does it bother you that this guy is the next coming?
It doesn't bother me. Like, this is the thing about it. Like, he's done an extremely good job with himself and marketing himself and doing all the things that we're talking about. But for me, like, I've known the guy. I've known of the guy and known the guy for the last 5-6 years. Cage Warriors, when he was fighting, I've seen every single one of his fights live from back in the day, and he's always been the same. To an extent, but he's just turned the volume up, and I think that's what I meant with the same thing. Like, be yourself, be your personality, but if you want to do anything in the UFC, you have to turn the volume up. That's all fame does, is turn the volume up. And if you want that, that's what you got to do. With Conor and Ireland, I think, you know, Ireland in general as a country, and this is where whatever I say is going to come off wrong and people are going to be upset with me, but in the sporting world in Ireland, name me some superstars. There's one I can think of.
Bono?
It's not in the sporting world. They've got a golfer named Rory McIlroy, I think his name is. I mean,
I know,
He's Irish.
Susan Boyle, isn't she?
I don't know. She's Scottish.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so, you know, Ireland has, they've got a very, very strong, faithful following. Like, they have great fans. I was there in Dublin for the event. It was incredible. And they have no one to follow, like, in the sporting world. Conor McGregor came. They love boxing. They're big fight fans in Ireland. It's got a huge heritage. Yeah. And Conor comes along, and he's this outspoken guy, and they latched onto him because they don't have... Like, I'm from England, London. You go there, you've got football, soccer, you know, want to call it. You've got rugby. You've got all these superstars coming through. You've got all... There's just so many actors, all the rest of it, that come out of England and in general music.
Yeah, they also have, like... In boxing, like, there's so many, like, they have a following in boxing, but boxing politics are so fucked up that they can't really.
But they don't have a dominant star in boxing right
now.
Yeah,
I know, but, like, they would never. Politics is so fucked up in boxing, you can't, unless you're Mayweather, you kind of.
Yeah.
Can't just say whatever you want to say.
Right.
So, like, it's kind of hard not to, you know.
But it's hard, like these guys in the boxing world, it's hard to gravitate to somebody. All I'm saying is it's hard. It's much harder in, same in America. There's so
but didn't,
many,
didn't Conor snub you one time?
Yeah, he did snub me. Yeah, that's why I have a problem with him. I thought what he was doing was great and he's entertaining all the rest of it. And he snubbed me once because of a comment I made on Errol's podcast. He got all upset about it and I went up to shake the guy's hand. You know, as I said, I know you don't like me, but, you know, I just wanted to say hello because we were, like, walking down a narrow corridor.
Yeah.
My coach knows him. My friends, they all shook his hand. I went to shake his hand, and he just looked away, like, didn't even acknowledge I was there. And that's when I was like, this guy, he's not just, you know, you can have a facade, and you can do this, and you can, I'm not, you know, I'm a middleweight. We're never going to fight. Like,
yeah.
What your problem is. So when he turned around and did that, I was like, oh, this guy's just a jackass. And then, you know, Like I said, I've known him for years on the scene, seen what he's done to his opponents, seen how he fights. You know, I know his teammates. Cahal Pendred is a great guy. Really, and there you go. Cahal Pendred is a great guy, great representative for the sport, very clean-cut guy, very nice, for, you know, great, great guy.
Hey, he's cute, too.
And apparently he's cute. Right? you know, so that I don't have a problem with Irish MMA or Irish fighters. I brought up when I was in Ireland at Dublin. I did the amateur world championships. I had the mixed martial arts amateur world championships this year in Vegas. I was the coach for the British team, and Ireland didn't send a coach. They had no coach there, and there was an Irish team, and I coached them as well. So I cornered all their guys.
You tell them like to do the wrong moves to like, get them to lose.
I definitely didn't. You know, I had a good rapport with them. I still speak to them now. The guys that were all in that.
And then you had a 3-year-old heckle you, right?
And I had a 3-year-old heckle me. So we're at the Dublin. I'm. You know, I'm getting insulted left, right, and center by the Irish for coming on your bloody podcast and telling a joke. And then this 3-year-old, or I don't know if he was three, he was probably more like 6-year-old kid, gets up. Q&A, I'm with Forrest, Cub Swanson, and Eddie Gordon. And we're all on stage. And this kid gets up. First question of the day. Oh, I've got a question for Luke. I'm not going to do an Irish accent because I can't. He goes, how does it feel to be in Dublin when nobody likes you? And he's a 6-year-old kid, and I'm just like, I'm just shaking my head, like I'm thinking, like, well, your dad's pretty funny. Like, your dad must have told you this.
That is fucked up.
We have 6-year-olds listening to our podcast. We're really big in the 6-year-old market in Ireland. We're huge. Yeah, no, I mean, look. You're right. How do you think my whole thing with Conor McGregor is so far he's talked the talk and walked the walk, and you got nothing respect. Now, you were there, right, when he lost in a minute and a half to a guy?
Yeah, he fought, I struggled to remember his name, but he fought on Cage Warriors, and he got taken down and submitted with a side choke in like, you can watch it on YouTube in like a minute. But that was a long time ago, and I'm not, you know, I don't run a hate train for Conor McGregor. People think I hate the guy. Like, I just don't. This is going to, again, sound terrible. I just don't think he's a very good person. You know,
yeah.
I've met a lot of fighters, a lot of athletes, a lot of people in my life. And when I met him, I thought, this guy's an idiot. You know,
I've heard other people have similar run-ins with him where he doesn't know when to turn it off. Like, they like, people realize this is show business. This is a sport. It's entertainment. But at the end of the day, everyone's an athlete. You guys all work your fucking asses off. And, you know, it's nice to see when two guys win or lose. It's like they shake hands. That was my issue with Ronda and Misha. I thought maybe she should have shook her hand.
No, she shouldn't have.
I think she should have.
Oh, you're tripping.
Okay, I'm tripping. Okay, so but whereas this guy seems to turn on. Now, speaking of which, our next guest, which we're going to talk to, and then it's us. So don't think I'm getting away. Is this guy Colby Covington, who is 7-0. In the UFC, this guy is the next big thing. I'm calling it here. I told Dana White 3 years ago, I ran into him in Vegas. I said, Chris Weidman is going to be the next champion. And he was like, at that time, Chris Weidman had won one fight in the UFC.
Were you holding your crystal ball and rubbing it at the same time?
Just something about that guy. I think it was after the Tom Lawler fight. I'm like, this guy did something about him. Maybe he's from Long Island. I'm from Long Island. And we both went to Hofstra. There was something about this guy that I just was like, man, this guy's going to be hard to beat. And I called it. I called it. Thank you. So this guy, Colby Covington, is going to be a fucking star. I'm telling you. You watch any of his fights?
Mm-mm.
You watch his fights?
Nope.
All right. Well, trust me on this one. So we're going to call Colby right now, and then we're going to get back to you guys. And thanks for listening to the show. I'm enjoying this thoroughly. Okay. Well, I'm here with a UFC prospect from hell, man. This kid, we just watched the fight like 2 seconds ago. He's 7-0.
Okay.
Colby Covington coming off a big win last week in Australia. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing really good. Congratulations on your big win. How does that feel?
It's good. You know, I mean, I want to be a little, you know, it was a dominating performance, but, you know, I expect better of myself. You know, I hurt my foot in the fight. I broke my foot in about the first minute throwing a kick. So that kind of slowed me down. I tried to slow the fight down a little bit, but, you know, it's a step in the right direction and, you know, just want to keep getting better.
I mean, well, you are. I mean, you're 7-0. I feel like people, you're one of these guys, like I was saying, only in MMA where a guy who's like undefeated, huge prospect, in all of the sport has less than 700 followers on Twitter. You should be, people need to know who you are. I mean, you're a two-time All-American in college. You keep fighting on Fight Pass. We got to get you on like regular television.
Well, I got my last fight. It was on Fox Sports 2, but my first fight was on Fight Pass.
Right.
Just so you know, it's Luca. Just so you know, the state of where we're at with this is Adam Hunter has tipped you as the next UFC champion. This is how highly he's rating you on your two performances that he's watched.
Yeah.
He thinks that you've got the. I mean, Adam loves a wrestler. Let's not mess around. If you can wrestle, Adam's all over you. But he's tipped you as the next big thing. So you should feel very good about that.
Well, yeah, he has a really big boner for you.
Thanks. That means a lot. I really appreciate that.
Oh, it's the truth, man. I mean, you. Now you're over at American Top Team. So are you just training all the time with Robbie and Hector? Are those the guys you're sparring with?
Yeah, pretty much, man. Those are some of my main training partners. Them and I train with Tyrone Woodley a lot. He flew me out to St. Louis for about 4 weeks a while back when he was getting ready for Rory. And always working with like Thiago Alves, Pitbull, picking his brain on stand up type stuff. So got the best partners around.
Now is Hector? Now word is that Hector and sparring is like just crazy. It's like a real fight in sparring. Is that true? A guy who spars with Hector, tell us because we've had him on the show before, talk about how he got into that epic brawl with Josh Barnett, how he knocked out Tyrek Safradine in sparring. What's it like sparring with Hector?
Well, for me, he respects me a lot. He knows that my wrestling background, he knows my pedigree, so he usually doesn't ever turn up the pace like that with me, but I have seen him go pretty crazy and sparring, and he's definitely not someone you want to piss off and sparring. Like, if you hit him too hard, he'll definitely freak out and try and take your head off. But
what is too hard?
Him, he goes light, you know, and he respects me.
Marina?
What do you mean by punch too hard? Like, just...
Like, I mean, to him, you know, like, if you jab him, that's too hard. He's going to freak out and try and knock you out. So most of the guys just, you know, just trying to use footwork and just, you know, not really punching too much, because he definitely takes... He doesn't take that lightly.
So he's a good sparring partner as long as you don't punch him.
Yeah.
So, exactly.
Wait. Let me get this straight. If you jab him, he gets upset and then tries to take you out?
That is the craziest bullshit I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, he's not someone you want to piss off. So let's put it that way.
Nice. Now,
well, Tyrone Woodley,
he gets pissed easily.
Tyrone Woodley's a really good would be a really good training partner for you. We just watched one of your fights, and you move really well. Like, your pressure's really heavy.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. now I was going to say, now, in college, you were a two-time All-American. You were also John Jones's roommate. Now, what was that like being John Jones's roommate in college?
It was good, man. We got real close in college. We shared the same room together, had a bunk bed, you know, for 2 years. And then Joe Soto was in the other room. But, you know, John's a good dude. He's a real family man, and, you know, he's a good person. We had some good times in college together, some funny stories.
So, like, come on, tell us some of these funny stories. I mean, did you guys bring home chicks together and have, like, just random threesomes with girls?
Oh, my God.
I mean, nothing crazy like that, but, you know, we got into a lot of trouble, you know, and when you're in a small town in Iowa, a lot of kids are farm kids, and they always wanted to test themselves against the wrestlers, and I was a national champ in junior college, and John was a national champ, so they would always come to pick fights at houses, at like our house parties and stuff, and we would just clear out the place like a bunch of townie guys, man. I mean, especially John, he'd be throwing people through windows and stuff, like, he was nuts, man. He definitely, he has a bad temper. When he gets mad, he gets mad.
Wait, so you so you and John Jones would have these house parties. These townies would show up and try to fight you guys.
Yeah.
And John would throw them through windows.
Exactly.
And then you and John, it would be like you and John Jones and Joe Soto versus Iowa townies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Why isn't this a movie?
Like me, John, and Joe, and like probably like five or six wrestlers against like 20 townies that would just show up to the party to try and raid the party. And just it would just be all out brawls. It was nuts.
Roadhouse.
I love this. So John, were you guys like back to back fighting off townies? I mean,
pretty much, man. That's pretty much what it was. I remember one time it was crazy, man. It was nuts.
Wait, no. You remember one time? What happened? What happened that one time?
I tried not to punch anybody because I didn't want to get stumbled. But what's that?
You said you remember one time. What happened?
Just one time we were like by the stairs and like one guy was like coming down the stairs, like jumping down the stairs on me and I was like double legging and trying to like pick him up and double legging and slamming him. And John had like three dudes like on the ground, like punching, like it was nuts, man. Like,
Jesus. Anyways,
they were vicious, violent attacks.
I love getting guys when they come on the show that have never been on interviews before because they tell us the truth.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you the truth. I don't mind it. You know, I've changed my ways a lot since then.
No, but that's great. So you and now after you guys cleared out the townies, you guys high five and like afterwards. You guys have it like a beer.
Do you chest bump each other?
Oh yeah, we had a beer right after that. We got the party started, man. We had kegs and. And we would just start pouring glasses of beer. Everybody, everybody, party on!
That's great. I love this interview so far.
This is awesome.
Okay, so you and John Jones had crazy parties. Now, did you know back then that John Jones was going to be something special as far as like fighting goes?
No way. No, I don't think anybody could have predicted that. The reason he got into fighting was because I was dating a girl at the time, and he was dating her best friend, and he got her pregnant, and then he got into, he was having some school trouble, so he went home, and he was like, dang, I got to do something, I got to start making money for the kid, to provide for that kid, so he started fighting, and then boom, he had like four fights in 2 or 3 months span, and then he was in the UFC and going big,
Yeah, now how did you get into fighting?
I saw his success and, I kind of wanted to follow that same lead and a lot of guys that I had wrestled with in high school were doing the same thing. They were getting into MMA. So when I was in wrestling in college, I always had that dream that as soon as I was done wrestling, that I wanted to go into fighting because I just think that the style fits me a little bit more, my type of style.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does. I love that grind it out. I mean, I was making jokes about your fight last time being so boring that one of the ring girls got pregnant. But...
What?
No, I'm just saying.
Which one?
No,
my last fight.
Your last fight.
UFC
I said there was
fight.
So much. I said there was so much humping that one of the ring girls got pregnant.
Okay.
I was. But no, but I love it. I mean, I honestly, I don't think that you've lost one round so far in your pro career.
Nope, I haven't. Not yet.
I mean, so now.
Not anytime soon either.
Now, who are you calling out? Who do you want to fight next?
I don't want to call anybody out. I don't think I'm in that position yet. I've only had two UFC fights. So, whoever the UFC wants to put me up against, I'm not scared of anybody, man. I train with the best guys, and I know I'm one of the best in the world right now. So, when whoever they want to match me up with, man, then that's who it's got to be.
I mean, now how do you do? I know you're not going to tell me, but how do you do against, like, Robbie Lawler and, like, sparring? Is it very competitive?
It sucks because I don't want to talk shit on this interview because if I told you the real truth, you guys would be, I think, shocked. And you guys, I mean, I don't want this to get back to Robbie and him be like a little bit mad. But I'm a wrestler, so he can't.
I have a question.
Who knows? Are you interrupting? This is the best part of the interview.
What's your question?
Come on.
What's your question?
He wasn't really saying anything.
He was about to.
He wasn't.
Let the people talk.
No, he wasn't going to say
Jesus
anything.
Who killed JFK? Well, actually, I have a question. Okay, all right, go on.
This better be good.
Really?
Yes. Let's hear your.
I really
question.
Didn't think. He, were you okay? Never mind. I take it back. Continue.
No. Your fucking moment. You're fucking. You're the boner killer. If I have a boner for him, you fucking just killed my boner. You're the fucking Kim Winslow of interviews. All right. Okay. So let's hear your question. This fucking $1 million question.
Never mind. Just keep going.
No, Marina Trebek. Let's hear your fucking question.
Trebek, what?
Because you're the Alex Trebek of our fucking
Why
podcast.
Why are you being so mean to me?
I'm not. Because he's telling us he fucking whoops on Johnny Hendricks. I mean, then Robbie Lawler in sparring, right? Is that what you're gonna say?
I was gonna ask who gets the first takedown in that. Sparring.
What?
Who gets the first takedown? Like who?
Okay.
Who gets the first?
Oh, I mean, are you asking about? Me and Robbie?
Yeah, when you guys go.
Oh, I mean, he's never taken me down. If there's any takedowns, it's definitely me taking him down. But,
you know. Well, there you go.
No, I won't talk about Robbie because I do train with him a lot, and he's a good friend of mine. I've helped him out in wrestling a lot, so, you know.
Nice. All right.
Did you help him out when he was fighting
Jungle? Don't want to talk shit on anybody, you know.
Right.
Did you help him out a lot when he was fighting Johnny Hendricks, like the first time? Were you a big part of the camp?
Yeah, when he was getting ready for Johnny, because I'm a southpaw, you know, they were bringing me in a lot, you know. I was helping him, doing a lot of rounds with him, so we got in a lot of rounds together.
Sounds like a good matchup.
So I think you're right there, man. I mean, look, if like you're beating him up in sparring, like you're saying, I'm kidding. Hello?
Hello?
No, but I think you're right there, man. It seems like you're right there. The UFC, they got to do a better job marketing you. They got to give you a prime spot. You got to start like, I know you were being a nice guy and you know, blah, 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 but how old are you, 30?
30, no, I'm 26.
26? All right, you got time. Right,
he's my age.
Yeah.
So now,
That's why I don't want to talk shit. You know, I just want. I'm going to be more prepared in two, three years. So you know, when that time comes, I'll be even more prepared than I am now. So I don't want to be calling anybody out. You know, this isn't. You know, that's not my time. But I can tell you that in the near future, I'm definitely going to be calling people out, and I'm definitely going to be trying to get that belt. So.
You're all about the timing.
Yeah, life is timing, right?
Yep. Good for you, man. That's awesome.
Now, do you have a girlfriend? You're married? What's the deal?
No, no girlfriend, no marriage. I mean, it's just hard. I live in Florida. The girls out there are crazy, man. They're nuts, and I just don't want to deal with that right now. I just want to be focused 100% and committing my life to fighting. So, you know, hopefully if there's a girl that comes in that can, you know, be supportive and, you know, of me, like I'll be supportive of her, then so be it. But it's probably not going to happen with a girl in Florida, so I'm just going to stick to training.
Would you ever date a girl fighter?
Yeah, you know, for sure. If we clicked and you know, things work out.
I would think long and hard about this one.
I don't see why not.
Now, are you slaying a lot of box? I mean, are you just kind of going through chicks in Florida? I know some of those girls put out and, you know, they're pretty hot. You got those Cuban girls. Are they coming for Hector and he can't, you know, he can't do all of them? Or are you getting any Hector's, like, leftovers?
Definitely, I don't want Hector's left up for his man. I can't imagine what he does to his training partners. I can't imagine what he does to girls. So,
definitely,
don't want to be looking for that.
No, according to Hector,
is he like the Terry Crews and white chicks?
I don't know. I don't know what to classify. Hector's in his own classification.
Now, according to Hector, nobody in the UFC can get as many chicks as he can. He came on the show and said that he is the best at picking up chicks. Nobody can hang with him. Is that true?
I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for him, but, you know, Pibble does a good job. I know he's getting married, but before he got tied to knot, I mean, every girl in Florida. I mean, I went out with him one time to the Hard Rock in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and every single girl just gravitated towards him. It was crazy, man. Just like every single good-looking girl just came up to him. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Wow. All right, that's good to know. Maybe
Hector's got some. Now you know Hector's going to try and knock out Thiago Alves. Now he's going to go crazy when he sees him.
I'm going to have fucking Hector try to beat me up in training.
So far in this interview, you've called out the number one and three guys in your own team.
That's not true. That is not true.
I know.
He's only messing with you.
I'm messing with you. Well, listen, Colby. It was an honor having you on. I truly think that you're the next big thing in MMA. Where can people find you and follow you on Twitter?
Please follow me on Twitter at Colby Cub MMA and Instagram Colby Covington and Facebook Colby Covington.
Well, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Thanks, Luke. Thanks, Maria.
Bye.
Take it easy, bro.
Take care.
Bye. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, man. That was Colby Covington. I like that guy. Fucking guy's funny. And Marina, your timing. He's like, well, I don't want to say, but let's just say I have a question. Like, fuck.
It was a good question.
It was a great question.
It was a lead because he wasn't going to tell you, and I just wanted to know who had more dominant. He just said, I never get taken down by Robbie Lowe.
Nobody takes me down in sparring. Exactly. Nobody takes me down.
Exactly.
What do you think about that guy?
Jesus, yeah, Christmas. Yeah. Leave me alone.
Jesus Christmas.
Fuck.
Jesus Christmas, really?
I'm just doing my job.
Marina the Interrupter. That should be, wait, so wait, what were you saying?
I'm Jewish.
It's true. That's why you said Jesus Christmas.
I just got you again.
What? Okay. All right, so what were you saying?
He sounds like he has a pretty good setup. I mean, the guy he's training with... some of the best in the world. Sounds like a pretty crazy place to be, though. Hector and Thiago pulling all those chicks all the time or whatever's going on. I'm sure he goes out with them a lot if that's what's going on. But he's got a good setup there, and from the look of his fights, he looks like he's got potential. And when he starts working out what you're trying to do with him in interviews, then maybe he'll be a bit more entertaining. Cause, I think you were just trying to trick him the whole time. But it was pretty good.
He was just like,
I love guys when they're just starting out. First of all, we're going to be the only ones interviewing him right now. I mean, there's going to be a couple of people here and there. We're probably the biggest interview, which is cool, but I guarantee people are going to be fans of him now.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, and that vulnerability is what I like. The guy who doesn't know, like, I don't understand. I guess the UFC doesn't teach, like, or maybe they do, but how to do podcasts,
no.
Right? Is there any type of training? No, right?
Welcome to the UFC.
That's
your training, yeah.
Which is,
when they did the fighter forum, were you a part of the UFC at that point? Because they used to do that a couple years ago where they bring all the fighters to Vegas.
Yeah, they scrapped that. I missed it. Like, I just joined the company and I missed it by like a month or something. But John told me about it. All the fighters come to one place and they give you a little bit of training, Twitter training and all the rest of it.
And those guys ended up fighting more there. They ended up talking shit about each other there. I'll never forget the fighting forum.
You imagine the security that needs to be put together?
Matt Mitrione was talking about Tito Ortiz as Jenna's wife, and they were all talking shit at the fighter forum, but they were supposed to learn about Twitter training. Ended up talking shit about each other. It was crazy.
That'd be insane.
Did you read the latest? What happened? They had surprise drug testing for Tito and
when today?
Yeah, it just came up on MMA.
Surprise drug testing.
Yeah,
and did they pass?
I don't know. Did they both pass?
It looked like it to me. It said they both passed.
They passed.
They said passed.
Yeah. Air quotes.
Yeah. If they passed, they gave them drugs afterwards to celebrate. Now I had a bunch of. All right. So that was. So we got some of those. Sam Alvey, I think, is one of the funniest people. You watch his fights?
Sam Alvey. He's the. I have watched him fight. Did he fight Tom Watson?
He fought last week. Yeah, he was smiling. It looked like he took like a Molly before his fight. He had this big smile, smiling Sam Alvey, which is like great. I'm going to put him in the new text chat, just a big emoji. a smiley face. Louis Smolka had an amazing Shawn Michaels kick. You know Shawn Michaels, the wrestler, the heartbreak kick? He had that crazy up kick. He won his fight by that. Tough fight.
Did he stamp before?
He didn't stamp before, but he's Hawaiian. And why is it that Hawaiians have the best sense of the humor? Hawaiians and Canadians. I said this before. They people from Australia, they never get offended. They never care. They always want you to make fun of them. Just a great, happy bunch of people. Those damn Hawaiians. I was happy for him. Because Smolka, another guy who has less than 500 followers on Twitter. Not that matters, but I'm like, hopefully this will get him over 5. I go, hopefully Louis Smolka has so little Twitter followers that even his parents don't believe he's in the UFC. And then he was like, thanks, man. I finally got arrested. He's like, my parents don't believe I'm in the UFC. So I was happy for him. Vic Grajic lost. We had him on the show. And then he was worried he might get cut after one loss. Do you think, is that happening?
I think as the UFC expands, it's happening less and less. But the fear of getting cut in the UFC is constant for every single fighter. It doesn't matter what their position is. If you have a bad performance. I mean, Vic trained at Alliance, good friends with Vic. He trained with me for that fight. He looked great until he made one mistake, got kneed, and that was the end of it. I think the reason he is worried, because I think he lost, he won, he lost, and his age. He's quite, he's not a young guy. So, and you know, he's got family. He wants to, so he's, you know, he's just probably playing in his head. Like, if I get caught, it's a big worry.
I hung out with Gerald Harris last week, who I thought was cut after one loss. And he left the World Series of Fighting because they signed him and he couldn't get a fight with them. And he's got six kids. And he's got four of his own and then two of through his step-parents. He's got to raise his family. But he was saying that he thinks that fighters should be able to sign like a 3-fight contract where they know they're going to have another fight. And the fights will be better because a lot of guys are fighting to not get cut. And therefore, they're playing it safe. They're not reaching their potential. I know as a comedian, if I'm doing comedy to not bomb, is a lot different than doing comedy to kill.
Yeah.
What's your thought on that?
I mean, go, Maureen, you go first. I think so.
I kind of agree with that plan. That takes the pressure off, you know? So, like, they kind of have an idea that, like, you know, they're going through some kind of bracket or something, you know? And I don't see why not. I mean, I think the only thing that would stump this is that it would have to go on, like, a lesser – it would be on a fight pass or something. It wouldn't be on TV.
You mean, like, if you lose, you get cut to, like, MySpace or something? Or you just keep going down?
Yeah, like – You know you're going to have 3 fights, and you better make them exciting.
But do you think guys would go the other way, where it becomes like communism, where less people work hard because they know they got another fight coming up anyway?
It's fighting, you know?
Like, no one wants to lose, yeah, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people in general in the UFC are more proud to be there than aspiring for something bigger. You know, I'm in the UFC, great, but unless you're winning the UFC and you're getting in the top 10 and you're winning a world title, who gives a shit? You know,
I give a shit.
There's a lot of people now in the
UFC.
Yeah,
no, they want a big pool of winners.
So they're looking for people that are pushing every single fight and trying to move forward and win fights. And I think if I believe with the UFC, it's the only sport where you can sign a contract. Like, I'm on the Ultimate Fighter contract. 3-year contract is how it works. You get a 3-year contract. But if I get injured or I get cut or whatever, no one gets paid for. You know, so it's like, you have absolutely no safety net with the UFC. So you have to perform every single time you go out there. And I think if you're a guy that can rise to that and perform under that sort of pressure, you'll go far. If you're the other way and you need to, like you said, take the pressure off and then, I've got 3 fights, you might get better fights. So I think both things would work. I believe it would be better for job security as
I think so too. I couldn't imagine every show – every big show, like if I have a bad set, I'm never working at that comedy club again. I've had that pressure before, and it's terrible.
I give you an example right now. I'm about to fight in 2 weeks or whatever. I just came off of a bullshit decision loss. I could get another bullshit decision loss, and I might get cut. You know, I'm thinking, fuck, I'm going to get cut. I'm coming off 2 losses. The guy I'm fighting is nobody, so they're going to be like, oh, if you can't beat this guy, he's not going to be able to move up the ladder. So I have that pressure on me right now.
But also, it's how you lose. You know, like, you can lose in the most – you can get screwed by judges. You know, like, you could be winning, and then, like, you can get screwed. So say you lose 2 times excitingly, and then you win your 3rd one – they're going to want to see more of you.
But also, I think with a guy like Vic, which I think it's like unfortunate for Vic, unfortunate for other fighters, is that he's from Australia. There's how many fighters from Australia? What, 20 maybe? There's 5 guys from England. There's a couple guys from China. I mean, a couple guys from Japan. They need to make those markets there. So they're probably going to – there's a less likely of them cutting Vic Grujic than Chris Camozzi, who's from Colorado, so it helps, I think, when you're from those places where you're kind of a, like you said with Conor McGregor, you're a bigger fish in a small pond. It sucks for the guys like Chris Camozzi who gets cut. I mean, I think he lost twice in a row, or maybe 3 times in a row, so it is what it is, you know?
Francis Carmont's another one who went on a historic rise, and he was up in the top 10. He lost 3 fights and got cut, or 2 fights and got cut, and he's Canadian, so like, we've got a load of Canadian fighters. It is like global economics, or whatever you want to call it, plays into it. Like, where you're from really, really does make a big difference. With the UFC right now, with the way they're trying to expand, and if you, as a fighter, you don't understand that, you're at a loss. It's like, I always talk to Tom, my agent, about it, like, there's guys in the UFC, like Clint Hester is a good example. Like Clint Hester, he was 4-0 in the UFC until he lost in Australia. But, you know, he's a guy from Atlanta, another American guy. Like, what is special about Clint Hester? What did the UFC need? You know, he was 4-0 in the UFC, and they stuck him on a fight pass card against a guy making his middleweight debut. I mean, he
Robert Whittaker, right? Yeah.
He won the Ultimate Fighter, but There was no buzz about Clint Hester, even though he knocked some guy out with a sick elbow. I don't know if you watched the fights.
Yeah.
He's had some great fights, great performances. But so then you've got another guy who's won four fights, who's from a different place. They're like all over him. Like, I'll give you a great example. A good friend of mine, Kelvin Gastelum, about to fight Jake at the weekend. You know, there's such a big buzz about Kelvin because he can speak Spanish. He's Mexican heritage. And they've just put a massive UFC on in Mexico. And he's won four fights. And, you know, he's an incredible athlete. But they're like... the difference, you know, they both came off the Ultimate Fighter, both 4-0 in the UFC, and obviously Kelvin won the Ultimate Fighter, but he's getting so much more publicity, people know so much more about him, he's making more money, all the rest of the things. It's not just on winning fights, and once you understand that, and you know that, and you can read that, and so as a fighter, if you're sitting there and you're Cody on the line today with us, he's just another American wrestler. UFC's got a million of them. You have to make yourself different. You have to do something, you know.
You think calling people out helps?
100%, you know, but only, like I said before, only if you feel like you won that fight. Dana White said to me on the Ultimate Fighter, if you're going to call a fighter out, make sure you can beat him. He said, and that's all I need. If you rang me up and said, I want to fight so-and-so, oh, why do you want to? Because I can beat him. That's all he wants to know. You know, he wants to see you win fights. So if you're going to call someone out, make sure it's from the heart and you're not just picking a name out of the midair because he's, you know, it's messed up.
Marina, who are you calling out?
No one.
Why not? Did you hear what he just said?
I'm not calling anybody out.
You don't have to, but it...
I'm not giving advice. I'm giving my opinion. Again, this isn't my advice.
But you're a guy, though. I mean, look, you're a guy. You're a smart guy, okay? You're a guy. Can we talk about your last sponsorship?
If you want to talk about sponsors, you can talk about sponsors.
Okay, your last fight, you got a $45,000 sponsor?
Yeah.
Okay, someone gave you $45,000 to wear their logo on top of whatever you made. That's I don't care. You have the right people around you if you're getting that.
That's me. That's not the right people around me. Because I've had a messed up management situation. I was with one guy, with a new guy, whatever. But it doesn't matter if you've got the thing. Another thing with fighters is if you've got a good management team, and I'm talking about management teams, going to get me in trouble again. But they're not your boss. You know what I mean? You are their boss. You are whoever you are. You're the athlete. You're the one making the decisions. So. At a stage when I got that sponsor, I had three managers looking for sponsors for me, and I went, right, you suck, you're not using you, you pick the guys. And I had a sponsor from one guy, a sponsor from another guy, and a sponsor from another guy. So it wasn't just one manager going out and looking for sponsors for me. I was like headhunting with different companies. And I'm lucky enough, it was actually my O2 fight, not the Germany fight, I got that sponsor. And you know, I'm from England. Like we spoke about, there's not many UFC guys there. There's not a huge understanding in the business world from the UFC. So, you know, there's a few advantages which you can play on. And all I'm trying to say is, like, as a fighter, you are in control. You're the CEO of your business. You're in control of it. And you can't blame your manager for not getting you sponsors. It's your responsibility.
Same thing. Comedy is the same way.
Yeah,
stand-up comedy is the exact same way.
You want to get in movies or whatever. You can't just sit there and think, oh, my agent's
so many agents. So no, many, look, I'm with William Morris. People are like, you made it. No. Like, William Morris, it wasn't like they came to me. It was like I did 9 million fucking things for them. And then I hustle came to them. And then once I get there, it's only I have to work. You make your own breaks.
Yeah.
So many people think you get a manager or an agent, you could just sit in your fucking apartment playing PlayStation, and the phones will come in. It's not the way it works. Yeah. It's not.
But what he's talking about, that's the business world, right? He's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
He gets it. I mean, you ran businesses before he was a fighter. So it's like you know that you have to build something. You're building your own empire.
It's like when we had Hector on. And I love Hector. He's one of my favorite guests. Hector was like, I don't understand why Fox Sports Deportes is not using me. And they're using Verdum, right? He's like, this guy speaks Portuguese. Well, Hector, do they know that you want this job? No. I go, well, have you told anybody? No. I go, well, then how do they also know? Well, I'm here. Like, so he just expected that, like, Fox was just going to call him. And I hope Hector gets the job. I think he'd be great on that job.
Yeah.
I mean, if Hector Lockbart speaks about fighting, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen. You know, the guy has that credibility. You both of you, Marina Shafir, okay? You're a pro fighter, okay? I think you're going to be the world champion one day, and I'm going to listen to you, okay? Same with you,
I'm
Luke.
Funny as hell, so
Luke, you Luke, to I'm going to listen to you. I think you could be the champion. Now you told me when you met Chris Weidman, didn't you tell him?
Oh yeah, I can't remember what I said. This is again. This was we were in Vegas and it was that week, that media week, when I was doing the Amateur World Championships, and I was hanging out with you, and we were getting drunk most of the week. And I just remember the first time I've ever met him, and I just, we were in, I can't remember where we were, but with loads of people. And I think I was with Melendez and a few people. And we just, I just saw him, and I made like some, oh, like stupid joke, like, psh, give it a couple of years and I'll be wearing the belt or something stupid like that. But like, it was like a drunk and stupid comment, and it wasn't, and it was funny. He laughed it off, shook my hand, said hello, and it was just quite fun.
I think you can win the belt, man. But yeah, you're a tough fight for anybody. I was watching your fights from that fight in The Ultimate Fighter that you won on the finale to where you are now, even the fight you lost. I mean, you were not taking those crazy risks of like having your hands down. You know, it was like almost like a bar fight. You know that fight I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, when I fought Colin Hart. And
Colin
I think
Hart.
It was like the most significant strikes in a middleweight debut, like ever. I think it was like 137, 120, and we both hit each other. And yeah, I mean, I've only been doing, like we spoke about it, I had a yellow belt in Taekwondo, and then at 2021 I started doing mixed martial arts, MMA, and now I'm 26. So I've only been involved in sport, like in general, as an athlete for 4, 5 years, 6 years. You know, so I've not been this wrestler who's been doing it the whole of his life. So I've had to pick things up pretty quick. And one of them, keeping my hands up, was probably the hardest thing.
Oh my God, your hands were so low. I'm like, you're giving away the fact that you're 6 foot six. Yeah. I never saw a fighter go, you know what, I'm 6 foot six, but I'm not going to jab.
And I've gone the complete other way now, and you've got some advice, and I'm working very hard. And I work harder than I think anyone in the company, but I think a lot of fighters think that, but I really do work hard. I've ruined my life to come to San Diego, and I'm in the gym, you know, 3 times a day, working on different things. And I just think where I'm at right now, for me, I believe I'll be world champion one day. I think the team I've got around me right now, like with the Phil Davises of the world, helping me with my wrestling, and I'm a 6 foot six middleweight. You know, if you look at the history of the UFC and the way it's going and the trend, you know, if you look at all of the world champions right now, they're all tall. They're all long. Jose Aldo's, John Jones's, they're all tall, long strikers that can stop takedowns. You know, that's really what they are. And the only one who's really breaking that is Chris Weidman. But he's 6'2". He's still a tall guy. And he's using his wrestling to strike. We'll look at the Machida fight, you know. And I think my style, you know, as I develop, I'm 26. You know, I'm 26 and I'm 9-0. You know, I will be 5-0 in the UFC in a week. It's a good place to be.
Now, that one fight against Gilbert Smith, which was, he shot a takedown, and it was like the quintessential thing to not do. He just, which is exactly what I would do if I was in a fight, which is like, just shoot a double leg. He has his head down, shoots a double. You catch him with a knee. It was a picture-perfect knee, double right to your knee. He's laid out. Mm. And then you just had your hand up like, it's over. Mm. I mean, that was pretty damn impressive.
That was probably the highlight of my career so far in general, I think, beating Gilbert. And again, Gilbert's...
He's 4-0. He's coming back,
yeah,
I think.
He's coming back. I mean, Chael tweeted about him the other day. Yeah. Gilbert Smith said he dropped a welterweight since that fight, since the Ultimate Fighter, and he's tearing it up, doing very, very well. One on RFA, I think it was, last weekend. Good friend of mine again. Like, we, since the show, we hung out a lot, and I think he's great. And yeah, he made a mistake, and I capitalized, and it was probably... That was like... Getting the Ultimate Fighter was great. You get in. I was number one pick. I was like, this is incredible. I was the first fight. I had to drop 27 pounds in 24 hours because I thought, all right, I'm in the house. I had a bit to eat. I'm a big guy. And then I got called out as the first fight. Fought Gilbert, who's a short, stocky wrestler, jiu-jitsu guy. You know, what people thought was my worst nightmare. Stuffed a few takedowns, got a knee, knocked him out. And
I hate how they don't talk about like all the shit you had to do for that fight.
Yeah.
Like, cut that much weight. They won't ever, like, why did he, like, say he lost, like, why did he lose that fight? Why did he lose that fight? You know, but they would not show.
Yeah, 27 pounds in 24 hours.
Fuck that.
They, like...
And that's why I quit wrestling in college. I was, like, losing that 15 pounds a week.
How'd you do it?
Ugh.
And the thing is about that is...
Yeah, how did you do that?
It was the first, like, I think it was 4 days you're in the house, and then I was the first fight. So I knew nobody. Like, you just met everyone, so I did bar, steps and salt baths. I worked with Dolce on it, and Dolce helped me with this cut, and... Like, I didn't have anyone to, like, oh, can you just make sure I don't die? You know, like, I was doing it all on myself, and it was a real, real tough cut, and I was very, like, weirdly proud about it afterwards, you know? And then when I won, like I said, it was probably still the moment of my career, even though I've had some good wins and some good times, but I think winning that fight probably felt the best. You know?
What was that fight where you knocked a guy down, and then you celebrated, and then the guy wasn't out?
Yeah, I did that twice.
That's just like one of those embarrassing moments in MMA, you know, like going into the ring and then you like you go to warm up, but like say there's something wet and you slip and you fall.
Has it happened to you ever?
No, it happened to Jessamine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's hysterical.
That was my Andrew Craig fight. I dropped him in the first round, and like I do like a lot of mental training, and I'd envisaged it a thousand times or a million times, whatever you want to say. And I caught him with a right hand clean, and I was just like, it's over. And yeah, I wanted to do the whole Mark Hunt thing, like knock him off and walk off. And we got a kid in our gym back home called Arnold Allen, who, you know, people say, who do you think, you know, with Michael Bisping coming, you know, down or whatever, who do you think the most talented, who do you think the best fighter is in England? It's this kid, Arnold Allen. He's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. He's 20 years old and incredible. And his pro debut, I was there, I was cornering him. He knocked this guy out of a left hook and he hits him and he just like, that's it, just walks away, hands in the air, most picturesque thing ever. And I think I was just trying to copy him.
Oh my God.
And yeah, it was embarrassing.
So before we get into UFC 180, which we're going to do real quick, there's only three fights in it anyway. What? I'm kidding, it's a bunch of fights. But who are you fighting coming up?
Roger Navarez. I want to say Navarez, but I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly. Yeah, some guy from Texas.
From Texas. Yeah. And what do you know about him?
I think he's a black belt, and he's tall, and he's a southpaw. That's all I know. I mean, I've looked into him. Obviously, he had one fight in the UFC, fought a light heavyweight, fought Patrick Cummings, and got destroyed.
Oh, okay.
You know, I asked for the fight in Texas. I wanted to be on that card. So I think they saw he's a local guy. He's a middleweight. He's looking for a fight. So they set me up with him. Great match for me. He's a bit, you know, urgent on the feet. I don't know what the word. Desperate on the feet. Like he comes forward very heavy, but doesn't really have the clean stand-up. Can be dangerous on the ground, I guess, you know. And I just think it's one of those fights that is set up for me to look fantastic. I think he's not going to be able to take me down.
Don't jinx yourself. Don't jinx yourself.
It's not jinxing yourself. It's positive reinforcement. It's just a great fight for me to really move on to
there
that next level.
There you are.
Oh, there I am on the screen behind us. Yeah. Roger Navarez. I think that's how you say his name. The Silverback.
6-1, 185. Lost to Pat Cummings. But Pat Cummings is a great wrestler.
Yeah, and it was just that wrestling pressure. He got taken down and held down and beaten up. And, you know.
Oh, what is that? Luke is a tough guy. He's a good all. You read this?
Oh, I've not read.
He's
this.
A good all around game. A good all around game makes him dangerous. I respect him as a fighter because he's down to take and give punishment. As good as he is, I feel there are some significant holes in his game. Uh oh. My team of coaches and I have studied his game and are preparing to exploit those holes. This should be an exciting fight for the fans. I know I am pumped.
I mean, what charismatic, interesting interview that was. You know, take the word to Swadsek. Take the word Luke Barnett out of the beginning.
Wow.
And it could be about any single fighter on the planet. When and where did you start training? 2007. He was a firefighter, lost weight to that. So basically, he's a fat kid who started jiu-jitsu. That's what that tells me. Right. Okay, great.
Sounds like me.
He's a guy. This is how I look at Roger. And listen, I very candid. Again, it's my opinion. I think he's a guy who did MMA. He's like 30, 31 years old. You know, did jiu-jitsu to lose some weight. Got into it, started doing MMA, started fighting, got on all right. Then he was like, oh, I've got to go. I want to be in the UFC. He took a late notice fight because the UFC were desperate to get someone for Patrick Cummings to fight. He got beat, and now he's going to fight me, get beat, and get cut.
He went to college for 8 years. No, I did go to college for like 8 years. Not even...
He's a doctor.
He's a slow learner, I guess. Just ask him, like, what's 4 plus 4? And then
I mean, one thing you got to respect about the guy, and this is going to make me sound like a bit of a sap, but he's a firefighter.
Oh, yeah,
you know, that's a great thing to do. Both my coaches now, Robbie Olivier, my head coach back in England, is a firefighter, and Eric Del Fierro is a firefighter as well, so that's pretty weird.
That is badass. All right, so UFC 180 coming up. We got to hear predictions. This is going to be tough because Marina trains with Jake, and Luke trains with Kelvin. So we are going to have the debate on who's going to win. What's that look for?
Because I'm friends with Kelvin, too.
How pretty is she, by the way?
Isn't oh, my God, stop.
She has no makeup on. She didn't shower all day.
No, she's sparring today.
She spars. She's beautiful. She could be a model. She could
stop
be a...
Stop it.
Hand model?
No.
Right? Thank you.
The Moldova... I'm trying to make her less embarrassed. She's covering her face.
She's the Moldova model. She's the... the Supernova from Moldova. That's her nickname. Although I think it should be Interview Blocker. All right. So
start at the bottom.
So okay, start at the bottom. Now we're here. All right. So Jessica I versus Leslie Smith.
That's, I think Leslie's gonna fuck her up.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because longer, and her ground game is really good, and she's not afraid to stand and bang in there. And Jessica I isn't either, but she just doesn't have the reach. She just doesn't have the reach. Like, I don't know if...
Are you saying this because she did so well against Jessamine?
No comment.
Okay, because it just seems like... Look, I...
No, I'm just saying that, like, I know that I've seen Jessica fight live. When you're there live at a fight, it's different than when you see it on TV. And Jessica is really aggressive. I was impressed by her striking, but Leslie is going to counter her distance.
She looked I'll give her this. She looked great against Jessamine Duke, who broke her hand in that fight, right? She broke her hand within the first 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And how hard is this fight with a broken hand?
It's pretty fucked. Your body goes like on shutdown. Everybody reacts different to broken things, but some people just, they shut down.
Have you ever fought with a broken hand?
Nope.
Nope. Good. All right. Now, against Sarah Kaufman, who Jessica has a win.
3 inches.
Jessica has a win against Kaufman. Leslie has 2 losses against Kaufman. Now, that's MMA math. You can't do that. Okay. But Jessica I, even her 2 losses, I would say, who'd she lose to? She lost, I thought she beat the girl Alexis Davis. I mean, it was a very, very close fight. It was a very close fight. She calls into our show all the time, and she's pretty cute. So therefore,
Jessica. She is. She's pretty.
She's a hot chick, and I like her. She's super cool. She actually came on our show one time, and she was like, "No guy from Cleveland's gonna have sex with me." And I was like, "So you're horny?" And she's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "And you're single?" She's like, "Yeah." So then I put like on the thing, "Jessica is 100% horny and single" as the thread title, and she said she got thousands of dick pics. she's like, "Please stop sending me dick pics."
Oh my god.
So, but she calls in all the time. She's cool as shit, Jessica I. I like her. I don't know Alexis Davis, so I'm rooting for Jessica I. That being said, that's not exactly how you should.
I'm not really rooting for anybody in the fight. I just think that Leslie's going to win.
All right. Okay.
I think about predictions.
I think I's going to win.
Okay.
Based on she's a friend of the show. All right. So Dennis Bermudez versus Ricardo Lamas. This should be, I think, fight of the night. Both these guys can throw down. Bermudez is on a 7-fight winning streak. I think Lamas' only loss as of late was to, what did he lose to? He lost to Ricardo.
The champ, right?
The champ, yeah, Aldo. Yeah.
I didn't even know this fight was on the card. It's like a sick fight. That's a crazy fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, both these guys, I think Bermudez, I was at the fight when he lost in the Ultimate Fighter finale, which. Against Brendau. It's just crazy, the Ultimate Fighter. I think because a lot of times you live in a house and a lot of times people's reputations end up getting the best of them. I know that you lived in this house, right? A lot of times it's not the best as far as sparring and training. You coached. And it's amazing to see how sometimes even guys who win, like Colton Smith, no longer in the UFC, versus other guys like Miles Jury, who never won, who's now in the top, in the top five, or
fine, Donald Cerrone,
other guys out there. So Bermudez has really done a lot better since leaving the house. I think he wins this fight.
I think Dennis Bermudez is an absolute beast. Fantastic to watch fight as well, and I can't believe
exciting.
He's on a 7-fight win streak. I think he's had 7 bonuses or something. Not seven, but he's had a lot. I think Ricardo Lamas is probably the more, I don't know how you put it, like. He's probably going to be the favorite in the fight, and he's probably the more strategical of the two. But Dennis Bermudez it just comes like a whirlwind, and he's an absolute monster. I think that I didn't even know that fight was happening. So
why aren't you an analyst for fucking Fox?
Well, I should be.
You should be, right?
Totally should be.
He's really good.
He's looking at DJ too. Like, boom,
get him a job. Get him a job somewhere.
And I didn't know that fight was on. I think the winner of this fight, a good fight with that, would be Wilson Hayes, who just fought and won with that body kick to a submission. Those two would match up well as well, I think. I didn't even know that was happening, but move on to the next.
I think when British guys talk about fighting, it takes away some of the barbaricness of it, and then you're like, oh wow, it seems. I think that's why Dan Hardy does it so well.
When Southern British people talk about fighting, Southern, it's all about this. Is what I'm saying.
I put down Northern British people so that they can get mad at you too.
I said this before once, and my coach was like, oh, now half the country hates you. But I don't mean that. All I'm saying is like the representation of England, like, is you've got like the Southern and the North. It's very big over there. And when you have like Ross Pearson talking about fighting, do you think it takes away the harshness? The guy from Sunderland.
That's a good point.
You know, but then you have this eloquent young Englishman. Then it's
where's Ricky Haddon from?
He's from Manchester or from up north. I don't know exactly where.
That's kind of rough.
Yeah. Same, similar.
You look like you can kick some ass. No offense. You look like you.
I'm a Southern Fairies into some Northern rough. So that's what they say.
Now, how did he pick you up, by the way?
Yeah,
online dating.
Yeah, we met online. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a whiz online. Trust me.
Can
you not tell?
You're a whiz. Wow, that's crazy. Good for you.
What is your dating device or app of choice?
Oh, this has been a long time ago now, but we met on Plenty of Fish, so the free one. I don't pay money for it. Jesus. And we're getting married now, so we're actually getting married in August. So. Yeah. We're a success.
I went on Plenty of Fish. I found plenty of whales. I didn't find plenty of fish. A couple crabs too. All right. Now,
any sharks?
No sharks. All right. So now, Jake Ellenberger, who
you've skipped about a million fights. I just want to point out.
All right, let's go back. I don't know these guys.
Ultimate Fighter finale going on.
Now,
right?
Have you watched it this season?
I've watched bits and bobs.
All right, so then you're the most informed guy. Give us your opinion.
Well, I have no idea. I was in the middle of a sentence. I have no idea. Whoa. Against Perez, but Teco or Jose has been training at Alliance for the fight, and the guy is something special, like on the feet, very, very technical. He's been sparring with, you know, like Mike Chandler and all the other guys, Dominic Cruz, all those guys, getting great training. And it's definitely, that's going to be, the whole season was explosive. All the fights were exciting. People were going at each other. They're much more of a stand-up, you know, sort of nation. So it was, that fight will be exciting for sure. And I'm rooting for Teco because obviously I train with him and he's cool. Real going to be real cool for Mexico, that guy.
That's why I base my comedy on Mexican boxers. Just thousands of punches. not necessarily the hardest, but
they'll land.
Just
some
keep throwing, land. Keep throwing. Now, who's the guy that won with the upkick? Was that him?
I don't think so.
There was an upkick this season that to a knockout. That was like insane. I don't know. I watched the highlight of it. Like someone put like the gif of it.
I'm sure someone will tweet us in last night.
Yes, of course. People tweet me all the time. By the way, he's at 185, not 170. Like they if ever I get anything wrong, oh, he's not a 35, he's a 45 pounder. Back in 1989, Tito Ortiz. I'm just like, okay, dude, I get it. I'm sorry. I've left my apartment this year. Okay, you win. All right, you win.
Jesus.
People go, you know, someone said to me, you're going to get fired like Mike Goldberg if you get a stat wrong. Mike Goldberg got fired because he said told some guy to blow him on Twitter. You heard about that, right?
Yeah.
Mike Goldberg was a football analyst. And you know what? It was his first day ever. He had done like Arizona college football. And he did a pretty good job. He got thrown into the NFL. Hard for anybody. It's not the kind of thing. But of course, because he's Mike Goldberg and some MMA media loves to watch people fail for some odd fucking reason, he made like five mistakes and people were all over him. I'm like, okay, he made a couple mistakes. He's not a fucking... So then they're like tweeting him like, hey, Mike Goldberg, you suck. Mike Goldberg. And he goes... grab a headset or blow me, dick. And then he goes, like I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. Like, he was taking, like, rap lyrics.
Like a boss.
He got fired like a fucking boss. Like, immediately got fucking terminated, right? They were like, this guy is done. Which is funny, because Dana White, it's not the UFC where Dana White can go, hey, blow me, go watch The Notebook. You can't do that in the NFL. But, you know, I felt kind of bad for the guy because it was a huge job for him. Grab a headset or blow me, dick. Like, which sounds like
just to be honest, you can't be an analyst on Fox and then attack your fans or attack the fans. Period.
Yeah.
Right? Even if it was just UFC and they were attacking him for that, You can't do that.
I don't even do it.
You don't do it.
I don't even do it. And I have a podcast where I roast people. And people hit me up all the time.
People lay into you on Twitter.
And I never, ever, I never respond. Because first of all, I'm like, what's the point? I don't even want you getting attention. And two, I don't want that coming back to me. Yeah. Fucking this guy has like, he won. He won. And it's a great example of why, of what not to do. I mean, look. I guarantee by the third week he would have settled into it. The fourth week, it's a fucking, people go to college for that. It's a profession. It's not like you could just, you know, okay, next week just, and you could take a random guy and have him put him in front of do a NFL football game. It's a lot of stuff. Goldberg has a lot of information.
I reckon I can do it, and I know nothing about American football. I just make shit up.
I'm
fun.
Sure you. I'm sure it'd be hilarious. It was funny when Dennis Miller did it for one game, and they're like, "Get him out of there." But you can't say grab a headset or blow me dick. You just can't. I mean, I don't know, but it was funny that he did it. Really funny, but Jesus Christ,
blow me dick.
Are we gonna keep talking about these dudes, or are we? Let's get to the meat.
Yeah,
let's get to the skate. All right.
Yeah.
Jake Ellenberger, Kelvin Gastelum, Jake. I'm going for Jake. I love Jake. He's one of my best friends. I like Kelvin a lot. That being said, Kelvin is a great dude, and I hope it ends in a draw. But I like both these guys. But Jake's my brother, so I want Jake to win. But I want Jake to win, but I don't want Kelvin to lose. I guess if you could sort of say it that way. I like Kelvin a lot. Thoughts?
I'm Jake too. I've been seeing him progress, like his progress in the gym, and he's looking solid, like very tight game plan, and I'm voting for him.
Now, what do you say to the people that are like saying that Edmund, his game plans haven't been working that well? Because there have been some detractors.
Well, no, it's not that his game plans haven't been working well. It's about sticking to it. You know, like he's getting fighters that are coming from different gyms, different mindsets. Like his job as a coach is to reprogram. So it's not his fault that like sometimes in the fight when you need to just stick to it, you don't. You abandon ship. So it's not necessarily his fault, you know? And that's what I say to that.
Okay.
I'll pick up on that point. And that's like this, yeah, obviously. We talk about, you know, you vote for who's going to win on who's a fan of the show or whatever. But I've been living with Kelvin for the last 10 weeks or whatever, so I'm obviously pulling for Kelvin. I want the guy to win. I think, both of these guys are incredible and they could beat a lot of guys in the UFC. So putting that to one side, Jake is the more experienced guy. He's the better athlete. He's the more established guy. He's lost in a lot, I don't know how many fights, but he's lost the two best welterweights. Well, two of the best welterweights in the division, whose losses recently. But I think that's what it is. I think if Jake can go out there and stick to a game plan, be confident in his skills and go out there and give it to Kelvin from the offset, then I think he'll beat Kelvin. If he can't, which is what he's had struggled with in his previous fights, a bit of confidence and coming off a few fights and he's on a bit of a slide, which is what, when people go on a slide and they start losing, they go into those fights and they don't want to try new things. They don't want it. They're stuck in a mindset.
I'm sorry, but look, perfect example, TJ Dillashaw. He just believes in what he's been taught, and he does it over and over and over and over again. You see the repetition in his striking, and like that is a thorough game plan right there. That's exactly, it's all about believing what you've been taught.
Like, I'm not there at Glendale Fighting Club. I know that Jake has been to Team Quest. He's been to Reign. He's been to King's MMA. He's been to Pat Miletich's gym. He's been, all over the world training, and he swears by this guy Edmund. So I got to trust him, And he swears by him. Travis Brown went from Jackson's and is now saying he's now learning how to fight in Edmund's gym. Ronda Rousey is obviously looks like she's making girls look stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's really in there making girls look now. Some people credit Ronda's mother for that as a big example, and for Gokhor. I mean that's a huge thing. I mean, without Ronda's mother waking her up with arm bars, I don't know what kind of training that is.
She has probably one of the most durable foundations.
I've never heard of a mother, a kid sleeping, a mother waking the kid up with arm bars and go, always be ready. I don't think you can get that kind of training anywhere. I don't know a coach that's willing to go to your house and wake you up with arm bars.
Every time I hang out at her house, I'm just on the computer. I'm just sitting down. She'll try to sneak up behind me and throw a choke on me, and I'm already She's like, always be ready, and you are. And she walks
told me
away.
To me, I took a picture with her. She had my arm in some kind of. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah,
like,
she's
like
the
this
shit.
Little like woman who.
Have
just
you
goes
ever met Rhonda's mother?
Choking people.
No, I haven't. No,
yeah, no.
No,
she's probably one of the most entertaining people. Yeah.
So I mean, look, she. I think that set the foundation for Rhonda, and I think that. So look, I want to believe in Edmund. I do, and I like Edmund's team. I like you, and I like Jake, and Rhonda. I don't really know Rhonda well, but I seem to like her. I like you better because I know you better. So you know, I want to believe. I get nervous. I just get nervous when I see.
You just gotta believe.
When I see Jessamine Duke going out there, when I see Manny Gambarian fucking becoming trying to be, you know. Roy Jones Jr., you know, and I'm like, use your fucking judo. We had this conversation. I get nervous. Okay. That being said, hopefully Jake comes out there.
And comparing Jake Annenberger to Manny Gambarian is a bit of a... Yeah, Jake's a very well versatile, very good athlete everywhere. He had good stand-up before he went there. I don't know, like, but he's had good stand-up. He's knocked people out. You know, he's dangerous on the feet. So he's just tweaking it. And like you said about Travis, sometimes you just find that coach. You meet that guy and you find that guy and everything clicks. Transferring that from the gym to an octagon is the trick. That's what mixed martial arts is. I've trained all over the world as well, and I've met some guys in the gym that destroy me, absolutely destroy me. I'd beat them in any fight ever because they don't. It's a mental battle. Fighting is a mental battle. When you get in the octagon, it's a mental battle. It's not a physical one. Doesn't matter how hard you've worked in the gym. Doesn't matter if you can't bring it with you mentally. And that's what my faith in Kelvin is mentally that guy brings it. That kid brings it to every single fight. That guy is 10-0, I think he is, and he's had 10 fights, and every single fight he's had, he's come in and brought it. In the gym, he does not bring it every day. You know, he just turns up, he has fun, he enjoys his life, but when he turns up to fight, he will switch it.
How's
on.
His weight? Because I know he gets up to fantastic. 425 pounds.
I've been with Kelvin, like, this is a big topic. I retweeted today. I've been with Kelvin, like I said, every single week for, like, you know, we've been dieting together, all the rest of it. I'm underweight than what I normally am because I've been bloody dieting with that guy.
Really?
He's in very good shape, very good weight. You know, I said to him, send a message to the UFC, send a message to UFC fans, make 170, not 171, make 170 and say, listen, I can make this weight class easy, do it well, look good, and then you'll move forward. Because if he doesn't make weight, it doesn't matter if he beats Jake Annenberger in the first round by knockout, the UFC are going to be pissed. But yeah, I think for the fight, I believe in Kelvin. I believe he can win. I've seen him in training. I've seen him train with great guys and look fantastic. I've seen him turn up lazy some days and not look fantastic. But when he fights, he fights. And if Jake has any, I want to call them like mental skeletons, you know, like in the back of his head and falters at any point, Kelvin will run through him. If Jake comes out like the Jake Annenberger of old, he could run through Kelvin. That's what makes the fight for me so good.
I can't wait for this fight.
Why isn't he using Dolce anymore?
This is a real big misconception as well, like with Dolce.
I'm just asking because like I know Dolce and like because he helped Rhonda.
Yeah,
I'm so like baffled with what's going on, like because
they went back and forth. Like I was a bit baffled as well because I'm good friends with Dolce. I'm good friends with Kelvin. They're good friends together, and I think he said a flippant comment or something that got picked up on, and then he was texting Dolce like, "Oh, we'll work together." Or, you know, there was a payment issue and all this sort of stuff. Because I'll pay you. There's no problem. I really want to work with you. But Dolce, as you know, working, he's the busiest man on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I think Kelvin just sort of got... Kelvin, again, like, talking about you being the CEO of your business, he sort of lost sight of that and was like, oh, Dolce will just contact me and it'll be fine. Like, I've told him I wanted you to use him for my fight. And he just, and I was like, oh, you spoke to Dolce? You're like 6 weeks... I was like...
No, you have to be...
To be on him.
Yeah, it's somebody you don't want to be on because it's nutrition and who wants to diet, but you have to be on him.
Is he $1,000 a day, like BJ Penn says?
Every athlete's different. You know, with the way Dolce approaches it is every athlete's different because he's not going to give Kelvin the BJ Penn treatment. He's not going to fly out there, live with him and cook his food every single day. You know, Kelvin was going to be slightly different. Rhonda's probably different as well. So I think you have to ask Dolce that question. I think every athlete he works with differently. Like he worked with me for my camp in Las Vegas. He did everything for free because he was like, you know, like you, Luke, you're a good guy. I think you're a prospect. I cut away at his house, he cooked me food, you know, he was the coolest guy ever. You know, and then if I wanted to use him for other fights, there was a certain charge.
It's like a coke dealer. He gives the first one free and gets you hooked. And then
I don't wanna advertise that, but yeah, but no, so Kelvin's not using him, I don't believe, this time, just because Listen, I love Kelvin. Like I would call him my Mexican brother. He is not the most organized, well put together individual in the world.
Is that so?
Yeah. So he lost sight of the Dolce thing, but it turns out he's going to make the weight fine.
Kelvin's so funny. I asked Kelvin, I'm like, hey man, can you retweet my MMA roast video? He goes, only if you roast me. He's such a good guy. It's like he's like a kid. I hung out with him and his friends.
Child.
In Vegas, his friends, I feel like I was hanging out with my high school friends. It was like they were still in high school. These like short, fat Mexican dudes, like Kelvin, were they all dancing around him. I was like, it was unbelievable. It was so funny. Such good guys too, but they're like Kelvin if he never did MMA.
Yeah, they were in San Diego a couple of weeks ago. I know exactly who you mean.
All right, so finally, the Mark Hunt Verdum fight. Super Samoan versus Verdum. Who wins this fight and why? Marina, you go first.
I'm going Hunt crazy knockout.
Really?
Yeah.
What round?
Second.
Second round. Mm-hmm. Okay, DJ?
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. If you don't submit Hunt in the first round, you're not going to submit him. You look at the stats, he doesn't get submitted in later rounds.
He's fucking...
He's short, he's stubby. Like, you're not going to get a hold of his limbs. You know, and then when you sweat, yeah.
Luke?
I'm going to... keep it short and sweet because I spoke a lot.
No, you didn't.
Mark Hunt is going to knock this guy out. I'm going for Mark Hunt. The guy's amazing. I love everything about him.
I'm going for Doom. I'm going to break.
Boring.
I know. And I think it's going to be boring. Okay. I do. I think that Verdum is just, I don't know. I don't think he's dumb enough to get into a slugging match with Mark Hunt. I think you look at the guys that Hunt's knocked out are the guy, you know, Roy Nelson. He's just going to go punch for punch with you. Stefan Struve, another guy who's 7'2", does not use his height for some reason. Tercerer, I mean, let's not even go there. But who else? As Hunt, he knocks guys out that are willing to trade with him. I think Verdum's a bright guy. I mean, he's a real smart guy. He's an analyst. He's a coach. He's not too proud to get into a fight where he's just going to start throwing punches. Look at him, Overeem. I mean, he lost the Overeem fight, but he wanted to take it to the ground. And I think that he's not going to... I think he's going to win a boring decision.
Or he's going to reach for a takedown and get knocked out. We'll see.
Really?
We'll see. We'll see what happens. You're going to overcommit, worry, be scared of the power.
He did Travis Brown. He made Brown look pretty dumb.
Yeah, but he didn't put him away.
Hmm. I will see. Plus, Hunt's had to lose 800 pounds this fight. I mean,
I don't know. Hunt is such a tricky fighter. He's not elusive, but he has this crazy pressure, and like it's so hard to swing on him because he's got like when he fights, he like puts his shoulders up, and it's so fucking hard to hit him.
Who do I want to win? Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt.
Because he's a friend.
No, I thought about it.
Because he's funny. He'd be a funny champion. He's like a little
cult hero.
He's hilarious.
I think he'll bring the heat knowing that like it's for an interim, right?
Yeah.
He'll totally bring the heat. For sure. Like you're going to see an exciting like old school Mark Hunt fighter.
I hope so. I mean, you ever see that one fight where he jumped on the guy and put his butt in the guy's face? Like you ever see that movie did? Will you bring that up please? Go Mark Hunt ass takedown. Okay. And then we're going to close the show with this. But this has been a fun show. This has been a lot of fun. I love having you guys on. I'm not just saying that too. Mark Hunt
says that to everyone.
Takedown. Ass takedown. I don't. There are some weekends I'm like, was that even funny? Mark Hunt, YouTube. Mark Hunt.
Ray Steffo?
Mark Hunt butt. Mark Hunt butt. No, that's not. Just
Atomic butt.
Atomic butt drop, yeah.
On Vanderlei Silva.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That was pretty epic.
What?
Oh my god.
I mean, how could you not love that guy?
He's awesome.
Hawaiian stomp. Call it that. Like, the Hawaiian stomp.
Dude, that's a WWE.
Like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. Like, how do you even learn that?
He didn't.
You learned that, like, wrestling like your little brother on the bed.
I think he was trying to do the people's elbow. That's
So, all right. Well, where can people find you coming up? What do you have coming up?
I don't have anything coming up. But you can follow me on Score. And I'd like to thank Pain Away today because I woke up with a stiff back and I rolled some Pain Away on and I went and ran 3 miles.
Nice.
No problem.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Luke, where can people find you?
I'm going to give a quick shout out first. Sure. There's a lot of MMA going on this weekend, so my friends back home are all fighting. We've got Sean Carter fighting on Cage Warriors. Arnold Allen, that kid I was telling you about, who's honestly the most talented, explosive little kid you've ever seen in your life.
So he's the next champion, UFC champion?
100%. In my mind, he's a little kid still, so that's, but you know, he's going places for sure. He's fighting on Cage Warriors as well. John the One Maguire, we've been speaking about a lot. He's fighting this weekend on Cage Warriors as well. They're all on the same show. It's some show in London they've got. I'm sure you can watch it online somewhere. And then the guys from Alliance, Michael Chandler, is going to get his belt back this weekend on that show that we don't name. And
you can name it.
I know, I'm joking, yeah. I'm joking. And then, you know, of course, my Mexican brother, Kelvin Gastelum, is going to smash Jake Ellenberger. I might get stabbed for saying that. But yeah, it's going to be good. So you can find me at Luke Barnett on Twitter. I'm on Score 2. I'm on Instagram. I'm everywhere. So
nice.
Just look out for us.
All right, and Adam Comedian or at MMA Roasted, this Friday night I'm headlining the Hollywood Improv, 8 o'clock. Hopefully Marina will be there.
I'm working. I'm trying to get out early.
8 o'clock, you and
the boyfriend.
And the boyfriend. The boyfriend. You guys have problems, though, right?
No.
All right, so 8 o'clock, Hollywood Improv. If you tweet me, I'll get you in for free. Should be a lot of fun. Me and Steve Hofstetter are going to be there. I love Steve Hofstetter, old roommate of mine, good friend. He hosts a show called Laughs on I don't know, Fox Syndicate, I think it is. Yeah, so, and good luck to Jake Ellenberger, our co-host. Bring it back, man. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do this. Sorry, Kelvin. I love you, buddy, but you don't co-host the show. All right, so so thank you guys so much, and thanks for listening, and thank you to
Lucy,
who is Luke's beautiful fiance. He did way better than I thought he was going to do. Honestly, I thought, yeah.
I'm a charming guy. Why do you think I'm not going
to
do that?
Charming guy. And thank you to DJ Trope. Yeah, thank you, Fox Sports. Take care. Bye-bye.